freedomslips.com. If you plan to call in and speak with one of our hosts, please turn down your radio and separate yourself from any background noise and wait for the area code to be called on before you speak. And don't forget, revolutionradiofreedomslips.com is listener supported. So stop by the homepage, freedomslips.com. Visit the site support area to help support the host you're listening to's airtime. Thank you. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where the truth never sleeps.
Turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of
be
more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
Just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I'm in such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace. Stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
Oh, what?
Come here.
What are you going to do, bleed on me?
I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Welcome on, welcome all, and it is that time for Roundtable Live here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Be rolling on until 4 a.m. in the morning Eastern Time. New ideas, different hosts every night, different subjects every night. You never know what's going to happen right here at the Roundtable Live. King Arthur has nothing on us. We're going round and round.
Episode of the High Council with your host and MC for tonight, The Mechanic, and I'm joined by a bunch of wise men. And tight now. From midnight on the West Coast, freedomslips.com, revolution.radio. Stay tuned for 2 hours of fire. We're about to get to it. I'm going to let everybody come at it with everything they want. The first 3 minutes around the block here. We'll start with Jacker. Jacker, who knows where you're going to come at today? I got all kinds of shit lined up. We can go out. We can start anywhere on my end, but I imagine you want to drop a few things before we get started. We'll go around the block. We'll start with you. Go ahead.
Well, the biggest thing to talk about, I guess the most important, is the bioweapons labs The government's come out in the mid. It's come out in Senate committee, Newland. And I've got a couple clips too, real quick. You
got
to hear it.
I got the clips right here. Now let me play my clips first.
Oh wait, I got a clip too.
You got clips? We all got clips.
I just got one clip.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, Jack, go ahead and run it. And if you play it and it overvetoes the one I already have lined up, then perfect. One less one we got to play. So go ahead.
Mine's 2 minutes. So go ahead, Jacker.
Yeah,
I got a rush clip.
Okay. Mine's only going to be about a minute, and it's Newland testifying at before Rubio in the Senate committee.
Okay.
Tucker did this.
It's good.
He was very heroic. So here we go.
Into a hearing of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Troy Newland was testifying, so we're interested. Newland's one of the people who brought us the Iraq
War. Turn it down just a tad. It's overmodulated.
Well, because that's how D.C. works. Troy Newland is now Joe Biden's Undersecretary of State in charge of Ukraine, and she knows a lot about Ukraine. In 2014, Troy Newland engineered a coup in Ukraine in the name of democracy, of course. So she is a highly informed source about Ukraine. So she was having this colloquy with Senator Marco Rubio of Florida during her testimony. And at one point, Rubio took a tack that we were not expecting at all. He asked Newland if Ukraine had biological weapons. We never imagined Ukraine would have biological weapons. Why would Ukraine have bioweapons? So it seemed like a pretty strange question. But it wasn't half as shocking as the answer he got. Watch what Troy Newland said.
Does Ukraine have chemical or biological weapons?
Ukraine has biological research facilities, which, in fact, we are now quite concerned Russian troops, Russian forces may be seeking to gain control of. So we are working with the Ukrainians on how they can prevent any of those research materials from falling into the hands of Russian forces should they approach.
Does Ukraine have biological weapons? Ukraine has biological research facilities. What?
Okay, so that's the front part, and then just a couple seconds later, and this is only going to be about 8 second clip, but this is the big scary here. Let me go ahead and get it. Yeah. This is Rubio in the same testimony, and he says this to Victoria Nuland, and this is really scary, folks. So here we go.
This is kind of important. But Rubio did not ask those questions. Instead, he changed the subject and told us once again that Vladimir Putin is bad. Watch.
If there's a biological or chemical weapon incident or attack inside of Ukraine, is there any doubt in your mind that 100% it would be the Russians that would be behind it?
There is no doubt in my mind, Senator, and it is classic Russian technique to blame on the other guy what they're planning to do themselves.
100% set up. 100% set up. Yep. Wow.
Yeah. But you want to hear what they've done, though. Here's the next biggest thing. So from the time she gave that testimony to the time it hit Tucker Carlson, and he did like a 20-minute piece on all the biological. He went through the whole thing. It's actually, if we go more than a couple hours, we could play the whole thing because it was just so hard-hitting. But within that time frame, within an hour later, they changed everything. And so – now the story is, what were the biological weapons in Ukraine, why we were funding them? Now the story is, you got to give it to these people. They could just twist anything. They said the biological weapons labs are all over from the old Soviet era, and the reason why the United States was working with the Ukrainians is in 1994 or 93, Senator Lugar out of Indiana, a lot of people remember Lugar, at the fall of the Soviet Union, we were trying to get rid of all their biological weapons and their tactical nukes and all the rest, and they were working on decommissioning these labs. So they went, they got caught, they changed the story, and they go, oh, these are old leftover stuff from the Soviet Union, and the reason why we were in there, to decommission them. You know, like it takes 30 years, you know, 30 years to decommission. So anyways, I thought that was, but it's very telling, very scary, because now, just coming off this pandemic, now what we have to worry about is them saying something got loose in Ukraine. We got another pandemic, and it was because of Putin.
Right?
Go ahead.
How convenient, right, Jacker? How convenient that they would have. What's the number? I've heard 28.
All right.
The number of labs.
30, but 40.
I got the answers to all those. I got all the answers to that.
Yeah,
14, okay, Ro. Deacon, do you got anything to add before we give it to Ro?
14 of the labs are BSL-4 or something, the worst kind. Go ahead.
Yeah, Deacon. He's on the call, isn't he, Deacon?
I was having some sound issues.
All right.
My 3 minutes, I think I'm going to reserve it. I'm more concerned about listening to some of the things you guys talked about. I'm especially interested in this WHO thing that you talked about, the treaty, the medical thing. I'd like to hear about that. But I'll break in later, though. But
let's go Ro first, and then we'll cover that. Yeah, we'll cover that WHO treaty. Ro, go ahead.
Okay, so there is a lot of information from an individual by the name of Diliana Gaitanseva, and she's a Bulgarian journalist, and she did an hour and a half or something, interview, and she's also, in fact, I'm going to post this page in our chat in a moment. It's called the Pentagon Bioweapons, and she did this back in 2018. And again, Diliana Gaitanseva, she documents, is a huge list of all of the references, the maps to all of the bioweapons laboratories that we have all over the world. And it doesn't just include Ukraine. We're talking about in Africa, in Georgia, in Tbilisi. They were working with insects, biting flies that they released, and the people were complaining that these biting flies live like all year long. They come in their bathroom and they bite them when they're, you know, when they're naked in their bathroom taking showers and stuff. And this was a military program, and she outlines a lot of this. But let me play this 2 minute clip from one of her interviews recently. And it just runs for about 2 minutes, and I'll put the link in there, and then we can move on. Here we go.
The Pentagon contracted an American company to rebuild and equip two new biolaboratories in Ukraine, in Odessa and in Ukraine's capital, Kyiv. The sum that was allocated for these two new biolaboratories in Kyiv and Odessa is $23 million. Again, this biological engagement program, and according to other documents which I obtained from the US Federal Contracts Registry, until 2020, the Pentagon or the Defense Threat Reduction Agency, which is an agency part of the Pentagon in charge of this program, allocated $80 million for this program in Ukraine. People can judge themselves. The United States says we have nothing to do with biolaboratories in Ukraine. Okay, but they paid $80 million in addition to this $23 million for two new biolaboratories. So what was this money paid for? $80 million plus $23 million. This means more than $100 million for what in Ukraine under this program. So all these facts, documents originating from the U.S. government website, they prove that the United States, the Pentagon, funded biological research facilities in Ukraine. And as Victoria Nuland confirmed, as a result of this program, in possession of scientists in these biolaboratories, there are biological research materials that the U.S. Fears may fall into the hands of Russia. If this is not of concern, if these are just simple viruses, pathogens, then why are U.S. officials so worried?
Yeah, and they put it under the Defense Threat Reduction Agency. You know, the debunkers are already having a field day saying, oh, you know, with the semantics, like, they're not bioweapons research. They're looking at it so they can prevent other people from harming us. You know, just the twisting and spinning. But there you go. Again, I posted the link in there, and my time is up.
That's all right. I was outside with the dog anyways. Okay, so you'll see two clips. Like, so let's listen to this here real quick. This one. You guys, Roe, Ireland? Huh? This Ireland lady, I don't know what her position or status is. I don't know. Bro, you put this in the host chat.
Oh, yeah, the one that was really angry.
Yeah, you got – this is a minute
also
23 of fire, and she's wearing an orange shirt.
The guy from India also is really – did you see that?
No, the guy from India is fire. He is fire.
May I play my clip?
Oh, 100%.
Well, I'll let you play it. I'll just put it in the chat.
I'm not set up really, but you got something in the chat room here?
Not yet. I was going to put it in there. It's called Russia Tells the U.S. We have found your biological weapons. It's about, I don't know, a couple minutes long.
Yeah, it's late. You want me to play it or you want to play it? I'll play it if you want.
I'll put it in our chat and you play it.
All right. Your setup. All right. Drop it in the chat.
But you're all talking clips. I lost my roast clips.
The Chinese, there's a couple from the Chinese where they're asking what the hell's going on. There's this one that you just put in. Yes, this is a good one. I'll go ahead and let you run it.
Oh, this one is just yeah, this is definitely
okay. General as well, giving a full press briefing. Go ahead.
Yeah, listen, folks. Everything's coming apart right now for the New World Order. They can't avoid stepping in their own doo-doo right now. All right? They can't. They can't. Does anybody feel that? They're just making one mistake after another?
That's because it's lightening. The world's lightening up with their conscious thoughts to overtake we're turning them into a shadow instead of a dark state.
But that means it's 30 seconds to midnight or maybe less, according to the nuclear clock.
Yeah, man, I'm not comfortable with that at all. I do have potassium iodine, though. So, all right, here we go.
Assume that the material
was
existing today, the confirmations that were made these days by the Ukrainian side and by the United States of America, there was a statement made by the Deputy Secretary of State, Victoria Nuland, will not leave an opportunity for Washington to keep silence this time. We remember how many years and also their attempts, while spilling blood, to find biological and chemical weapons throughout the world, while in fact occupying, killing people. They were looking in the wrong place. We have found instead of you. We have found your own products. We have found your biological material. It was developed primarily for military purposes. As it turns out, it was all happening in Ukraine. What were you doing there? It's a different continent. It has no borders with you. There are no bases of yours. What were they doing there under the guise of scientific research? Your specialist, among others. On a regular basis, they were giving instructions to the Ukrainian side.
Okay, pause it.
As to the purpose.
Wait a minute, I'm playing the video. You pause it. What are you doing? Listen. I got questions. This is the narrative that they went in to the Ukraine because of NATO. There is a laundering facility for the real reason they went into NATO. or they went into Ukraine, is that because of these biolabs? What do you think was secondary in that combination?
Who are you talking about going in? You mean Russia going into Ukraine?
Yeah, Russia goes into Ukraine. Do you think it's because of Dale solely? Or
No. There's a lot of reasons. I mean, the humanitarian reasons, the things that are going on because those neo-Nazis. And this goes back. The Chechens are hunting the Bandera group, which, you know, they take their name after this guy that made deals in World War II with the Nazis, you know, and a lot of Ukrainians – assisted the Nazis in World War II because they saw that as a liberation from the Soviets. So it's kind of a flipped, an inverse thing. But, I think that's a major threat.
And Rose had been kind of undercover ever since. It's like until this, what's going on in the mix now?
What?
It's been undercover, these Nazis in Ukraine.
No, they haven't been undercover. They've been, out there. They're the ones that have been preventing the whole Donbass region from getting electricity, from getting food, from getting water. They bomb them. They shell them regularly. They actually will actually crucify you if you're caught speaking Russian. I mean, this is how freaking messed up they are. And the hatred is deep. Between the two, I mean, they do not have any love at all. And these other people are ethnic Russian. And so there's multiple reasons, multiple. And the regime that was put in place there, by the way, do you know who the mayor of Odessa is? The mayor of Odessa, Ukraine, is Saakashvili. Saakashvili, who got a DOD scholarship, who is just one of our boys, who used to be, he's the tie-eating guy that was the leader of Georgia. Georgia, one of the breakaway or ex-Soviet republics.
I started eating his ties.
Yeah. And he got all paranoid. He thinks he hears a plane overhead and he thinks he's going to get bombed. So he starts running around and going all crazy with his bodyguards. I mean, he's known for just being a whack job. So he's installed and Putin laughed. Putin laughed at him. He's all, is there not even one Ukrainian that's qualified to do job as mayor? They got to get this out. And then same with the president. He's all, they got this guy that runs around dancing in high heels. He's supposed to be the leader of Ukraine. It's a freaking joke.
He's a comedian.
Well, there is no legit administration. Go ahead, Javert.
No, that what's his name you just mentioned? He's a comedian, and they just moved him into that puppet position.
Yes, he was put in there by Kolomoisky, Igor Kolomoisky, who was an he was born in the Soviet Union, and he's basically a mobster that got away with a bunch of the money because he basically robbed the bank. He had the bank in Ukraine, and he like embezzled $5 billion, right? Nobody went after him, and now he uses that money to prop up, well, basically, like you said, Jer, Zelensky is a comedian, and everybody around him, it's the same lawyer, is Kolomoisky's lawyer. The people around him are like producers, except for the show business over there, you know, and it's just, it is a big joke. Kolomoisky's not even Ukrainian. He's like Jewish. And they're also and
supposedly he just bought a $1 million mansion in Florida.
Oh, he's got more than that. He's got stuff in Russian all over the place. And they've got documents now. The Russians found documents, and they're actually the Russians did find out, but there are other documents that are shown from Giuliana that shows that they were looking for RNA samples for Slavic people. And who's looking for Slavic samples? Who people that are in charge? Like these elves. These elf type people, if you know what I mean, are in charge looking for DNA of they could remove those people from that land and take it over. I'm just speculating now, but why would you want a specific type of DNA? I mean, you're researching what? I thought we were trying to reduce the threat, not increase the threat. So, you know, and how many wars? Okay. I just keep going on and on and on.
Oh, keep flowing. You're on a flow.
Well, how many wars of the United States has caused? You know, since let's say World War II, I mean, we didn't cause that one per se, but since then, how many have we been involved in or direct cause of or something and compared to other countries like Russia?
About 95% of all the wars.
And what would we do if China or Russia went to Mexico and started putting up weapons labs there or something, you know, and then decided, oh, we're going to make them part of the Russian sphere of influence. We're going to move all of our, you know, we're going to move some weapons there, maybe build a base. Right in Tijuana, You think the United States?
It'd be like the Cuban Missile Crisis. But we probably wouldn't stand up like Kennedy. We'd probably fall with Biden.
It's worse than that. No, it would be like, if you want to parallel putting weapons in the Ukraine and biolabs, it would be like, okay, 400 miles away from D.C., that would be Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh. That would be like putting bioweapons and nuclear weapons in Pittsburgh, which would be the same distance. So, forget Mexico. Forget Canada.
No, Tijuana is like you could walk to Tijuana from San Diego, dude.
Yeah, but we got Moscow. It's the whole nation.
But yes, I see what you're saying. If you're saying about the capital or something,
right? Moscow, 400 miles. That would be Pennsylvania or North Carolina. So, anyways, go ahead.
Well, yeah, local sphere. And what are we doing in their front lawn? I mean, it's like, would you like to have a meth lab next door to you? No. You know, it's just and so we're trying to put I can't believe the propaganda people that are spinning this. The left, it wants to go. And do they even know about the Azov? Do they even know about the Nazis? Because I would think since they're so anti-Nazi and everybody in the world is a Nazi that doesn't agree with them, that they wouldn't want to side with the real Nazis, the real effing Nazis in the world that proudly proclaim it, fly the flags, got the tattoos, indict the children. They've got camps. They have websites. They have videos still up on YouTube right now that you can go and look at that shows the Azov Battalion. It's not a bunch of frickin' propaganda from Russia. Jesus Christ. Excuse me. I'm sorry, Lord.
You want a Valium, Mr. Roll? I got some.
Yeah, and the other thing about the ethnic Russian bioweapons, 140,000 Ukrainian children in the last 8 years have disappeared. That's their numbers, the Ukrainians' numbers. So where do those 140,000 children go? Experiments?
I guarantee you there's no investigation. I know that much. No, there's no investigation.
They probably went and got blood sacrifices. Some of them.
Zelensky got bribed $1 billion. I mean, what would you do for $1 billion, gentlemen? You want to say, oh, no, I've got too much of a higher moral standards. $1 billion.
Yeah, dude, let me share something with you, Ro. So, well, not just you, but Ro, you know, now that you bring it up, everybody can tune in. I dated this rich chick, real rich, daughter of a wealthy family, very wealthy family. By the end of my experience with this girl, I was disgusted. I mean, it was a bad taste in my mouth for several months. I mean, I would see her from time to time, you know, just in public, because we did a lot of the same things. And she's just the whole life.
Did she offer you $1 billion?
I don't think it's too far of a stretch between a millionaire and a billionaire. Is it the mentality? Let's say this. If you got 1.2 billion and 500 million, is there a big stretch between those two?
Yes.
Yeah, 500 yes. million and a billion. There's a big stretch.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You think socially, equity-wise,
everything? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could tell you no. I could tell you that point in my life. I'm a year. I'm not even a year. I'm a couple of months away from being 50, and I wouldn't know how to live as a billionaire.
No, because we weren't born into it.
I don't know how. I wouldn't even know. I would be the biggest. I would be like Richard Pryor on Toy. I would be Arthur.
You don't have to
the alcoholic.
Even if we, like one of us, like you or I, got, let's say, several billion. You know, like we were rival. Let's say we rival somebody like George Soros. We got like, you know, 12, 14, 25 billion dollars. Let's say through crypto or something. Ugh. The problem, I had this conversation with somebody because they were like, how come the crypto billionaires don't save the world with their money? They're our rivals. And we came to the conclusion that it was because the money was too new, that the old money billionaires have already established their networks. They've already bought their armies. They've already, you know, bribed and greased the wheels and put their bribes in where they need to be.
Like the new money, old school,
the
right?
New money billionaires, yeah, don't have those connections. All they have is they have the resource to start establishing them. they don't have them yet. So I think that's why a lot of them decide not to get involved, because they don't want their airplane to suddenly crash. They want to just enjoy their money, so they quietly just mind their own business and fade off and on their little yachts, and they let the world tick because they know that they're now insulated. But why rock the boat? I think that's the problem, is a lot of these people with a lot of money just don't want to rock the boat.
Well, the other thing, the other big thing is that if you do come into that kind of money, you're immediately perceived as a threat. And so the first thing that you're going to do is you're going to go to protect yourself. You're going to hide. Also, if you do start to try to build these networks and tap into it, it's not going to be long before that old world system, like a spider, you know, something messing up the web, wakes up. What's that? What's that? And then once they realize, oh, you want to come and play in our realm? Well, how about if we just kill you and take your money? And so I think the new billionaires, I think what they do, I think they hide.
They just go on their little yachts or their big yachts and go have a cool time somewhere in the South Seas. And they don't rock the boat. They're just like, I'm not going to make any waves. Just let me keep my yachts and my nice houses.
Yeah, you know who the douchebags are. They go up into space and
I'm going to work on my own space program. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to build a spacecraft shaped like a set of cock and balls.
Don't worry, John.
Go ahead and fly into the space. And where exactly are you flying? And by the way, both of those people that flew to space, Bezos and the Virgin Airlines guy, Braxton or whatever his name is, these cats, two people died, one in each flight. Were you guys aware of that?
Yeah, I think one of them was a pilot or something, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. That's all weird.
Yeah, that's weird. And why would you send Captain Kirk to space?
Because they went up, and Captain Kirk, you know what he said? He came back and he said something like, you know, the Earth is so fragile and blah, 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 blah. And then I think about the coming threat, something to that effect. And everybody was like, what did he mean by that? Like, you know, did you see something out there? Did you go up and you see something that we don't see? You know, you're thinking of the approaching threat or something. And so we never really got an answer as to why.
It was global. He started crying. It was about global climate change. And the Earth is so fragile, and we're about to wreck it. And what he was doing is he was saying, oh, man, now that I really know the truth, don't kill me.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, wait, where's the curve?
Yep.
He saw the flat Earth.
You mean it goes on forever? What are you talking about?
The indefinite plane. Two people died, bro. Two people died. Now, I don't have
a whistle on it. I'm blowing the whistle on it. You can't stop me.
Look, I'm just telling you, people get taken out for far less.
Well, they might have seen something they weren't supposed to see. I'm not saying that, you know, it's the infinite plane or the world bigger or whatever, but I don't know. It's a weird coincidence. Maybe they did see something, and Captain Kirk going, the approaching threat just made me kind of scratch my head and go,
Right. By the way, Rents tonight, he's getting real close to flat Earth. I couldn't believe what he said tonight.
I heard this.
Yeah. He says, I just, these people seem to have an argument. They got a point, and we really gotta figure this thing out. And he's talking about flat earthers. But now he's, now his whole paradigm's upset. Oh, yeah, by the way, if you want to see the power of the media, within 12 hours, this General Keane, I think his name is, he told both the truth. It's only about each clip's only about a minute long. If you want, I can find it. But he completely flips on the whole Ukraine thing. Unbelievable. And one clip, he tells what the truth is going on. And then the very next day, they do another interview, and he's completely flipped. And he went from saying that Zelensky, or whatever the president's name is, the Ukraine, he's nothing more than a puppet controlled by a billionaire, to the next day, he's a patriotic man. My hat's off to him. I mean, I could not believe that this general could be flipped so quickly and easily. unbelievable.
Maybe he got induced with some sodium pentothal to make him talk truth.
Oh, I'll find it. Each clip is real small.
Real quick, did you hear Michael Sala said that the Aleshki Sands, which is like they call it a little mini desert, it's in Ukraine. It's called the Aleshki Sands. And if you look on a map of Aleshki Sands, it is round. And Michael Sala, who you probably know that name, has actually said that he thinks that it's one of these spaceships or something that's activating and that's going to get starting to, you know, give off signals or whatever, and it's going to come up. And it's one of many in the world, and we're going to see this, and that's why one of the reasons that the Russians are going in, because they want to have control of this device, I guess, this ancient device that's buried underneath the Aleshki Sands in Ukraine. I don't know if you guys have heard that one, but Michael Sala did a big – he's got a whole report on it. So there you go. Whatever it's worth.
Okay.
So I got these two clips real quick. If you want to see a big man, a big general, how they can flip them in 12 hours, let me play this. Okay. Mechanic?
Run it.
Okay. Here we go. Yeah, I gotta hang on. I gotta find it again.
Womp, 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 womp.
Yeah.
So,
here it is. Okay, man. Here it is.
All right.
Here it is.
To retired Colonel Douglas McGregor, who joins us now. Sir, what was the strategy? Putin attacks a nuclear power plant. What's the strategy behind that? Is it just to intimidate civilians?
So now this Lieutenant Colonel General, he's going to tell the truth in this next 48 seconds or whatever.
Yeah, I have this clip, and it's brilliant. Listen, go ahead, Jacket, run it.
Does he say, is this the first time, and then the next day he changes it? Right?
Right, right. Here we go.
Okay, any power plants or the power grid, the Russians have very carefully avoided interrupting any power. No damage to communications, no damage to any of the things that are essential, like the water supply. What you're seeing is that the Russians have now driven what is left to the Ukrainian forces, who are taking refuge in population centers, cities, because they have no mobility, no air defense, no air cover, no logistical infrastructure. They are now mingling with the population, much as we've seen in the Middle East. Whenever we drove the Islamists out of business, they ran into cities, used people as shields, the civilian population, and tried to avoid being annihilated. And I think that's essentially what's happening today with the population being used by the Ukrainian forces to avoid destruction.
Do you think Putin will pull what I would call a Grozny? Grozny was the capital of the breakaway republic. He flattened it when the civilians resisted.
Yes.
You're going to see this? I mean, is he going to flatten Ukraine?
No, absolutely not. In fact, he's worked hard to capture most of it intact. Surprisingly little damage, frankly, Stuart. Much less damage than we inflicted on Iraq when we went into it either in 91 and again in 2003. Now, I think they're just surrounding the Ukrainian forces, and they are annihilating them. And this is inevitable. And Mr. Zelensky, I think, is postponing the inevitable in the hopes that we are going to rescue him, and we are not coming. President Biden has made that very clear.
You think the end is in sight?
Well, the end, the end of this phase is still a few days away. The first 5 days, Russian forces, I think, frankly, were too gentle. They've now corrected that. So I would say another 10 days, this should be completely over. But the question is, what is it that Zelensky is going to do? The Russians have made it very clear what they want is a neutral Ukraine. This could have ended days ago if he accepted that. And then they can adjust the borders. But the eastern part of Ukraine is firmly in Russian hands. But again, the Russians are not seizing territory. They're destroying Ukrainian forces. That's their focus.
Colonel, it sounds like you don't approve of Zelensky's stand.
Well, I think Zelensky is a puppet, and he is putting huge numbers of his own population at unnecessary risk. And quite frankly,
okay. Wait, wait, wait.
Pause it. Okay. Okay. You're not a fan? You mean you don't support the bullshit narrative?
Well, a mechanic, get ready, because in 12 hours, you're going to hear the same. You just heard this guy. In 12 hours, you're going to see this guy deballed and do a complete bout face. I'm getting ready to play the clip right now.
Right, go ahead. Go ahead. Right. I know where you're going, dude.
Yeah, let me finish this one.
Yeah.
Out of Ukraine has debunked his lies within 24 to 48 hours. The notions of taking and retaking airfields, all of this is nonsense. It hasn't happened.
He's not a hero in standing up for himself and his own people? You don't think he's a hero?
No, I do not. I don't see anything heroic about the man. And I think the most heroic thing that he can do right now is to come to terms with reality. Neutralize Ukraine. This is not a bad thing. A neutral Ukraine would be good for us as well as for Russia. It would create the buffer that, frankly, both sides want. But he's, I think, being told to hang on and try to drag this out, which is tragic for the people that have to live through this.
I'm inclined to disagree with you, Colonel, but...
Stop it right there.
Right, that's it.
Stop okay, it right so there.
Now,
Jacker, do you think he's on the phone with Hillary Clinton? Hey, man, you need to drag this out past the primary.
No, but what you're about to hear now...
Soros?
Right, what you're about to hear now is this exact same man 12 hours later talking about taking his hat off to Zelensky. This is a little shorter. Here we go.
Do you play this? I have a question for you, but go ahead.
Retired four-star General Jack Keane joins me now. Fox News senior strategic analyst and chairman of the study of the Institute for the Study of War. General, good to have you with us. So I guess the biggest news here today is this news from Poland that they have agreed to send some of their MiG-29 fighters.
Is somebody sharpening their nails or filing their nails or something?
In Germany.
You guys hear that?
I hear somebody's got an open mic.
Somebody's got an open mic. Somebody needs to mute up. I'm not sure what's going on. Sounds like somebody's filing their nails or something. All right, go ahead.
All right, here we go.
Ultimately, the Ukraine.
Yeah, well, certainly it's something that's been in the works for some time. Zelensky certainly has wanted this because it's still amazing that the Ukrainian Air Force still has some capability out there, but certainly he knows it's dwindling. It remains to be seen how these aircraft are going to be employed. Where are they going to be positioned? And will they be able to get the repair parts that they need? I think that's why it's taken a little bit of time to work through, you know, all the issues here, particularly the logistic issues and the employment issues. So we'll see how this pans out, but it's certainly a step in the right direction to help the Ukrainian forces out there.
Do you know how many jets we're talking about? And these are older fighter jets, and there was discussion that we would have to backfill the supply to Poland. We don't have, as far as I understand it, enough F-16s to do that at the moment that are available. And one more question I'll throw in there, and that is, you know, who's going to fly these planes from the NATO airbase to Ukraine, and how will that be perceived by Putin?
Well, I think that's part of the logistics issues. You know, the Ukrainian pilot's going to go over and pick them up. I suspect that may be the best answer, but I'm not involved in the details of it. I don't know the numbers involved. The backfill of the F-16s, I think they likely have a commitment from the United States. When that takes place is another matter. It's not something we just do overnight, Martha.
Yeah.
But if we make a commitment, the Poles know enough to trust us about that commitment. We're providing, you know, significant military assistance to them. We've got troops in their country. Almost a full armor brigade is sitting in Poland. So we have a very solid relationship with that country as a member of NATO.
So I'm just curious because we know that President Zelensky has been calling for a no-fly zone. And he said, if you can't do that, then give us the planes so that we can put it in place ourselves. Are they going to be able to do that? Will they be able to create more strength, more power in the skies over Ukraine with these planes?
No, absolutely not. In my view, I mean, what he gets from time to time, is air supremacy, where he can conduct air operations and support the limited ground operation for a period of time. But he doesn't, he'll never be able to achieve air superiority where he actually controls all the airspace. The Russians, much to all of us surprise, haven't been able to achieve that themselves. I really believe the answer here is not a safe zone. It still doesn't guarantee the safe evacuation of people. I mean, safe corridors on the ground, motorized evacuation, I think is the best option here. But what our viewers have got to understand dealing with the Russians, their military objective is to defeat the Ukrainian military and topple the government. To accomplish that also, they have another military objective. And believe me, it is an assigned objective. And that is to kill as many of the Ukrainian people as they possibly can by toppling their neighborhoods and their residences.
Fool-faced lie. Stop it right there. We've been joined by Sergeant Miller. What do you think of this lie right here?
Well, he's going to get to Lewinsky. He's flipping everything.
I'll bring it, Sergeant Miller, for just a moment, then we'll get back to your clip. Sergeant Miller.
Yeah, thank y'all for bringing me in. Yeah. Isn't it a great time to be alive?
Well, this is a historic time to be alive. It absolutely is. And I'm not the man to keep you waiting. So you want to add anything to it? We'll get right back to the clip. Anything you want to put on the table, welcome.
No, I enjoyed, I actually watched a little bit of Tucker Carlson, and not to be joking, that UFC fighter from, where are you from, Arkansas?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. He's right up there with Covington. But yeah, he's laying it down. He called Ukraine like it was.
Called out the Federal Reserve.
Yeah, he did.
I was like, damn.
You
want
to talk about problems in this country? Yeah. Go ahead, finish.
But I mean, like I said, it's just some red pilling going on. I mean, all over the place. I mean, it's so much information. It shouldn't be no problem doing any type of shows these days. So that's my little two cents.
All right, Jack, go ahead.
Okay.
In government, this is a way of war for Russia in all of their previous campaigns, and actually. In Chechnya, as we pointed out in Syria, it has been absolutely devastating. And that could still be in front of us in terms of massive carpet bombing and wholesale killing of civilians. So, that is their way of war.
And we're seeing it play out. So I'm asking now, before I let you go, what do you expect to see in Kyiv? You said over the next 24 to 96 hours. And before you answer that question, I just want to play one moment from President Zelensky addressing the UK Parliament today, and then we'll get your answer on the other side, if I may, General.
The question for us now is to be or not to be. Now I can give you a definitive answer. It's definitely yes to be. We will not give up, and we will not lose. We will fight till the end, at sea, in the air. We will continue fighting for our land, whatever the cost. We will fight in the forests, in the fields, on the shores, in the streets.
The Churchillian language there. What do you expect to see
I don't know why people are opening up their unmuting themselves.
Yeah, we have an echo. We definitely have an echo.
I wanted to say something. Chat room's interested, probably because I turned my volume up. The chat room's interested in these links that you're showing, Jacker. That's all I wanted to say. Over.
Yeah, well, they can get them all on YouTube, Fox News. All you can do is look them up. The big point that he's getting ready to make is how he flipped in 12 hours. Listen to what he says about the Ukrainian president. From being a puppet, to listening to this.
Yeah, well, what's happening there is it looks like their preparations to restart an offensive, and this one is likely to be have considerably more combat power. On the east, they're coming from Chernihiv and off from Sumy on converging axes, and they will come down to Kyiv and attempt to encircle the city on the east side. On the west is one we've been very familiar with that has come down as far as the Homestol airfield outside of Kyiv, and they've had significant difficulty. We've seen, interesting enough, that there are fighters there in the lead who are Chechen fighters. There's a group called the Liga Group, which may be a renamed Wagner Group, who have considerable experience in Syria, Libya, Mali, and Venezuela. And they may be with armor forces attempting to make the penetration and also go down the west side and encircle the city, hammer the city with attack area weapons, rocket artillery, bombs to be sure, topple as much of that city as they possibly can, try to seek a surrender. And if they don't get a surrender, then they would move into the city, and that would involve some very significant urban fighting. The Ukrainians have had 2 weeks to prepare the city for this. If they go inside that city, the Ukrainians are going to fight them as hard as they possibly can. The level of violence and, of course, casualties in warfare, if it comes to that, would be very high.
Devastating. Before I let you go, what do you think about the president and how open he's been about where he is? In fact, I think we could roll this video quickly. He was at his desk in his office in the Capitol building and showing his phone out the window. What do you think about that?
Well, he's full of daring. He's full of the lawn. I'm hoping it was just what it appeared to be, a photo op in his office, and he's not there reading battlefield reports. He's someplace else in a bunker doing that. Mm-hmm. I take nothing away from Zelensky. He's grabbed the world microphone, and he is certainly motivating and inspiring his people and actually inspiring other leaders to provide assistance to him. My hat's off to him.
Yeah, absolutely. We think about that.
There you go. There you go. He goes from the Russians got him beat back to the cities where they're taking human shields. So now they all of a sudden now Ukraine's got a military air force that's on and off. They're going to open up a second offensive. We need to help these people. Not talking about any negotiations to Zelensky's a puppet. And now you just heard him. Oh, my hat's off to him. He's inspiring world leaders. I mean, look at, they took the big, bald, alpha male general, and some power in the world is able to flip that type of person in 12 hours. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, to me, I don't think that's unbelievable at all. I think it's 100% believable. What do you think that conversation looked like then? Who do you think it was? Like, who has the authority to come at a general and redirect his public opinion? Who has that ability? Anybody? Any answers?
God!
I don't know.
We don't know.
Yeah. I mean, is that one of those, let's take a walk back here and take a look at a film, the unedited version. This is what happens. You know, you think Trump got that talk? You know, I don't know. I think Trump's been a part of it the whole time. I think he's been a part of it the whole time. Until he denounces this whole gig, I think he's been a part of the whole thing. And I can't imagine that Russia didn't know 2 or 3 years ago that they were going to do this.
They took you in the back, mechanic, and they literally killed you and then visited you in death, then brought you back and said, there you go.
Now you're better. This is a better version of you.
Okay. Yeah, well, I think it's got to be something like Rents did a program on the white wizards, there's the white wizard, the One World Order Illuminati family. They got one or two of them every year. And they said where our real power is that we can make a phone call and we can make things happen. Mm-hmm. So if he says it works like this. If somebody's not doing well in business and he's got a manufacturing company and he's having a hard time, he'll call me and he'll say, look, you know, I need help. I'm going to go bankrupt. I'm not doing well. And then the white wizard says, well, let me see what I can do. And then he says, but listen, what if I do you this favor? When I, next time I talk to you and I ask you to do something, no matter what it is, you have to do it. And that's the agreement. You know, you got to agree upon that. Doesn't matter what it is. And they agree. And then the White Wizard makes a phone call to some other business and says, help this guy out, you know, get his manufacturing business back up. So somebody of statute, it's maybe the Pope or somebody that Keen knows who he is, called him and says, look, Jack, you know, either you're going to do a 180 and you're going to get behind this whole Ukraine narrative and pull the weight and stop all this talking about they don't have a chance and they're using human shields and Lewinsky's a puppet. If you don't flip and you don't turn around, then you're going to be forced to kill you, your daughter, your children, your whole bloodline. We will wipe out. There will be nothing left. Now, decision's up to you. We've scheduled you for an appointment, an interview tomorrow on this chick show. You're going to come on there, and depending on what you say, you're going to determine your life and the life of your family. Thank you very much. Goodbye. Click. That's how you flip a big guy like that.
Are you talking about that general?
Yeah.
I don't think
so. You'd have to do a paper trail on the fact that he's a general, he's an officer, so that means he has a degree. So you'd have to do your research on what college he went to. Is he part of a Greek fraternity? What private interests he has as far as like, you know, handlers, people that has invested, you know, like Boeing. Boeing would be a good, Lockheed Martin.
Right.
You know, things of that nature. There would be good influences on him.
Well, Sergeant Miller, for the last week, he's been a thorn in their side because that first clip I played, he's always telling the truth. But Putin is not there to do a massacre and blow buildings up. And everything that he said on the second clip, he actually said the opposite for a week. And he caught all kinds of flack. But then all of a sudden, yesterday, from the day before, he completely flips. So he's been talking like this for a week. And then all of a sudden, he's changed his tune. Oh, yeah, now it's good that the fighters will be coming out of Poland, and, you know, it's a step in the right direction. So who knows? Go ahead. Looks like we got a break. Go ahead.
Jack's not sure. Okay. They're off. Somebody want to...
Okay, there. Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
After a long day of research and trying to wake people up to what's going on in our world, I need to take a break and find my center. I do this by listening to music or watching a great movie. If you find yourself doing the same, then come chill out with me every Saturday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Studio B, Crypt Rick's The Decompression Hour. It's time to put down that research and crank your stereo.
Feel that things were not quite right, that everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
and I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
The pill has been taken. The blinders are off. Are we in the end game? Or are we simply living a replay of a time that's already happened with no choices? Different people have different points of view. When it comes to creation versus evolution, my point of view, we were created to evolve. The Red Pill, every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern in Studio B. www.freedomslips.com and revolution.radio. Check it out.
Thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
Alright, let's show them what we got now.
Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Yeah, I'm just going to hand it right back over to Ro. It's all you, dude. Ro, go ahead.
Where was I now? So, yeah, I was thinking, you know, Russia.
We were talking during the break. Basically, what were.
You take it, though, Jacker.
Yeah. We're either looking at something that's naturally, organically developing. Or what we were talking when we were off air, whether, and Mr. Rowe brought this up, if this is not synthetic and this is designed and we're going through a series of resets in certain regions. And so Mr. Rowe, you know, we talked about the Russian reset where everybody's leaving, all the corporations, the McDonald's, the Kentucky Fried Chickens, everything, Visa, everything. And that's their particular reset. Their internet, they're not Google, you can't get in. It's like an iron curtain or an iron wall has gone up around Russia now. You can't get in and out, basically, most things. But then Roe was talking about what's the Chinese reset looking like, Mr. Roe?
Oh, right now in China, they got everybody running around literally to stand in line to make sure you're safe. They have those people... every 24 hours, under penalty of death, imprisonment, and the death penalty, you have to have a test. And so most of their lifetime now, most of their daily time, and at night, at 3 o'clock in the morning, they got to stand in long lines, because, you know, there's a lot of people in the cities in China. China! And everybody, big and small, short and tall, has to stand in that line to get your negative test to make sure your QR code is okay so that you don't have to go to the camp, which they continue to build. And now it's interesting because you can still look this up, But back in, I think it was 2003 or 2009, Henry Kissinger was given an interview, and he says, the New World Order will have different characteristics in different parts of the world. So as we see, like, the Chinese doing their little Great Reset, you know, thing, while everybody's life has been interrupted over there, and they're going along with it. Now you've got Russia, which everybody's supposedly disconnecting because they're virtuous, saying, oh, the evil Russians, you know, so we're not going to do – even Switzerland is no longer neutral. We're not going to do business with Russia anymore. Is this a rope-a-dope? Is this, you know, we think, oh, you know, and so everybody's willingly disconnecting. And then that's a reset in and of itself, is it not? Is this part of the plan? Now, one other thing, I want everybody to Google this and put in the images. The Rothschild emblem, Russian emblem. Rothschild emblem, Russian emblem. And you tell me what the difference is. Back to you.
Yeah, so that would dovetail into the book of Revelation.
There's a question about to you, Jacker. Hold on. It says, Jared, tell Jacker there was two different men being interviewed.
No, it was the same guy. It was the same guy. Anyways, so this would dovetail into the book of Revelation, 10 Kings. And so are they now in the process? Is there a backdoor deal? Is Putin in the club with the Club of 300 along with Xi, and it's already been established how they're going to basically cut the world up? Who's going to get what kingdoms? Who's going to get what nations? So that's the real question. The real question is, are we watching something in the Ukraine between Russia and the West that's authentic, that's organic, real, or is this actually synthetic and the powers behind the scene are actually doing what Mr. Rowe is saying, that each region is getting their own particular reset. And then Mr. Rowe brought up, what's our reset? Is it going to be $50 a gallon gas and completely just bankrupt us? I mean,
So here you go. You know, you're going to have $50 a gallon gas, or you can't afford to drive to work. So that means you can't get a job. So that means you don't have any money. But don't you worry. They're going to have food stamps available for you. You'll probably have some unit. It'll be the perfect excuse to bring in, and everybody will hail it. They'll be, oh yes, give me free money because I'm so hungry. The universal basic income. And it'll probably be offered as some sort of crypto, but it won't be an open source Bitcoin kind of crypto. Oh no, it'll be some sort of government controlled crypto, like, you know, government dollar or some sort. And just like, you know, you get a special, you know, credit card. You get a special credit card if you get food stamps, right? That EBT card. That's in and of itself some sort of money. Now they're just moving on to the next phase. So, you know, that doesn't mean that crypto in and of itself is bad. That means that they're, you know, it doesn't mean that cash or gold is bad or anything of the sort. But there's an interesting thing. Gold, I have nothing against gold as a hedge. But one thing that we saw in this war zone is there was not the facility to carry a lot of gold, and a lot of people didn't have a lot of gold, and there were no other options. But Bitcoin actually facilitated some people, and they were able to buy a car to get them out of the Ukraine war zone. So one thing to think about, if there is conflict, are you going to carry your gold across the frickin' war zone? So there's a time and place for everything, and something to keep in mind. But back to this reset, you know, we've got to keep on our toes, because what is it going to be for us? Is it going to be, you know, if the price of gas goes up, that means the price of milk goes up, the price of everything, because they got to transport that stuff. That means that your price at FedEx, what do you think they're going to do? Their overnight shipping for $19.95? No, it's going to be $99.95. So everything is going to go up and the buying power of your dollar, your petrodollar. It's not a petrodollar anymore. Used to be the reserve currency of the world. That means if India wanted to buy something from Russia, they had to use dollars. They had to convert their rupees into dollars. And then the Russians had to convert their rubles into dollars, and dollars maintained their value because of the world reserve currency. Well, guess what? That's no longer the case. And Russia's laughing because they say, you took us off SWIFT. You ever heard of BRICS, stupid? BRICS? And Brazil is neutral. India, there's a guy shouting, saying, we don't forget. We're not involved in your damn war. Go to hell. And then, of course, what's the other one? China, who's China? And, South Africa. So they're prepared. They're the only people that are going to suffer are you and me.
Yeah, Tucker brought that up. Right, the BRICS system now that they have fully fired it up because they took off the Russians from the SWIFT, the whole system's fully fired up. Now, 3.2 billion people on the earth. Or no, it's more than that. It's Russia, India,
Brazil,
China,
South Africa.
And 120 other nations also have got it. So they got literally half the population of the earth on this other system.
Consider all the spheres of influence of all of those nations. The Brazilian sphere of influence is South America. The Indian influence is Central Asia and the Indian subcontinent.
Right.
South Africa? Well, that's Africa. Who else was it? Russia? Well, they've got a big sphere of influence as well.
Eastern
and
Europe.
In China? China? Well, that's Asia. There you go.
That's Vietnam, Thailand, Burma. Yeah. By the way, I've come to the conclusion the big winner, and everybody's starting to realize the big winner out of what's just happened in the last 2 weeks turns out to be China. So I'm going to say now, I don't think China's going to do nothing. I don't think they're going to invade Taiwan. I think they're in the catbird seat. They're
eating popcorn.
Yeah. And they're watching the Great West tangle with the bear. They're sitting on the mountainside. And in the art of war, what do? You sit and you watch and you don't say
nothing. China's broke. They're going to go after Taiwan. They need it just to for.
I don't think so. I think they got everything. They're rolling in the money. They got all the
manufacturing. That's why those cities that didn't have anybody in it, they lost out on all that. So they're broke. You'll see.
Yeah. Well. We will see. We will see. But I do believe that we do got these occultic dates coming up. March 18th, the Eyes of March, March 15th. We got 322, March 22nd, very skull and bones number. And then we also got 327, which is also a 666 number, like the 318. The 18th is a 666 number.
The 327 and 318 are hell of a motors, too. That's a Chevy and a Dodge Mopar.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. You
the 327. Yeah. SS Supersport.
Oh, I had a Mustang one time. It was the 327.
Man. Oh, that'd be a 427, if anything. But the Ford didn't make a 327. They made a 289 and a 351.
A 289. Yeah. I don't know. The cars of old. But we do got some kind of, and I don't think it's going to be China.
All right, I'm back. Sorry, it's 327 was the standard stock motor inside of the, I believe, I want to say 63-72 Corvette Stingray.
They were in a Camaro too, 327 SS Super Sport Camaro.
So yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm thinking that these dates that we got coming up is more for the deep state to do false flags than it is China to jump Taiwan. I don't think China wants to do anything right now. I mean, they got everything is so perfect for them right now. All they got to do is just keep doing what they're doing. Watch how this whole thing plays out between the Ukraine and Russia. Study it. Study the people's reactions. So, and all the other big thing, the reason why I don't think China's going to do it is because when I look at it and here are the numbers that I kept track of. This comes from Mike McGill, Liberty Gold and Silver. But I thought that we were going to go into an economic, other words, slowdown or whatever. But turns out in the last 4 months, before all this happened, Apple stock down 13%, Microsoft 20%, Google down 16%, Amazon down 27%. Tesla down 35%. I'm talking about their stock price. Facebook or Meta down.
This is all happening since they left Russia?
No, this was right before Russia. So everybody, what I'm saying is that we're so close to a worldwide financial collapse that China knows that if they do the Taiwan thing, that's it. The system can't hold. Everything comes down. And China's saying, wait a minute. We would take the heat taking Taiwan if it was with the United States with one sanction or another. But for a worldwide economic collapse, we're the ones that would be the big loser.
We are breaking from the Kremlin. We are breaking news from the Kremlin. They've announced Friday evening will be beautiful for the entire world. That's it. Back to you.
Is that like a Babylon Bee type?
No, that's onion? That's no. The Kremlin made a statement. Friday evening will be beautiful for the world.
Oh, that means they got a peace deal.
They got something. I'm trying to get some official confirmation on this.
Where does that come from? The Kremlin?
It's coming from
Lavrov?
And it's coming from a news report from over there, and I just want to make sure we knew we were on a road to no return. Representative Russia. Russia has entered a road of no return. We cannot submit to NATO. So they're doing reports. They're doing statements in English from the Kremlin. And as of 8 hours ago, they said the Kremlin said, Russia has entered a road of no return. We cannot submit to NATO. We knew we were on a road with no return. And Friday evening will be beautiful for the whole world. Those are the latest statements from the Kremlin.
Well, it either means they know they got a peace deal.
So much for that red horse, Chief.
Maybe they've got not only a peace deal, but maybe they've got hardcore evidence and stuff that's like, you know, hey, the world's going to know that, you know, these people can't do what they've been doing or something. I'm being a hopeful Henry, but, you know, maybe wouldn't it be weird because like all these companies and stuff that are disconnecting, I mean, isn't there like a rumor that they're all involved in nefarious things? I mean, don't they, these companies are like covers for like, I don't know whether you want to say adrenochrome harvesting or whatnot, but stuff that's not so nice. And, you know, it might be too hopeful to think that maybe they're busting up a trafficking ring or some sort of, you know, human harvesting or, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's a nothing burger, too. Maybe I'm just, you know, because none of this stuff seems to pan out. But then again, if you look to the shadow, there does seem to be some sort of parallel significance. Like you start hearing about, well, this trafficking thing did happen and this was real. And, you know, of course, the mainstream's doesn't report on any of this stuff, but we see these little parallel narratives, you know, and then you got to scratch your head. Is there a UFO underneath the oily sands of Ukraine? I don't know. Anyway, go ahead.
Hey, are electric cars being forced upon us in this day and age?
Oh, and Trump's plane made an emergency landing in New Orleans due to technical failure on Saturday. So he had to turn around and go back to New Orleans. On his way to Mar-a-Lago because of an emergency.
Buckle up. Jerbear, say that question again.
Do you think electric cars are being forced upon us on this day and age of today?
Yeah. At the same time they're trying to force electric cars on the U.S., they're tripling doubling and tripling energy costs.
But they're using substandard technology.
Isn't that just great?
It's substandard technology, too. It's like making you a box made out of, like, plastic or something when they could make it out of metal. You know, everything is – when they give it to us, it's always like – that's why they have stuff called, like, military grade. You know, we don't get industrial grade or commercial grade anything. We have domestic use, the cheap stuff that breaks, the cheap crap. You know, that's what we get. I haven't even had any Red Bull.
Well, it trips me out like back in the day when we had the oil and the refineries in Pennsylvania and all the other countries went with rails. You know, they wouldn't allow the rails, even the rail that goes, what's it called, the one today, they canceled it through Vegas years ago. It has to go through Reno, Amtrak. I don't even know if Amtrak's happening anymore. I'm just curious to say. Over.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've had a couple of children. They got this traveling bug, so they go to different places. And they came back from Japan. And they go, Dad, man, our country looks like it's third world compared to some of the places in Japan. They said where they were on a train, it almost went like 300 miles an hour. And just like mega cities, like Tokyo, it's like 40 million people. It's just like everything's all high tech.
Like future world.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they get back here and, you know, just run down. So it does look like we're the last ones to be bled, and it does look like they're getting ready to do our reset through driving up our energy cost, food scarcity. That's coming at us. I mean, we got a lot. We got the death wave coming at us. We got a lot of stuff. Yeah, so I don't know where we go from here. Not a whole lot of bright stuff to talk about.
It's going to get AIDS, huh?
Yeah, well, according to the WHO.
They all got AIDS now.
The WHO. By 2030, the leading cause of death will be HIV.
Now, how do you think you got AIDS? You were very careful. You always used a condom.
Yeah, you put that little ass gasket on the toilet seat. You should be fine.
Yeah, what could it have been? That's just a mystery, I guess. Well, let's have to live with a mystery.
Who's spilling the syrup all around the Johns?
Wow. Okay. Amazing. You guys, come on. Give me a break here.
So, Mechanic, you said you had a couple of clips of something then, huh?
Yeah, I do, as I force-feed myself here. Listen to this. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we got Deacon John-like numbers. Go ahead.
We're living in times of catastrophic crisis where the lives of innocent civilians are sacrificed in the wars of their masters. Yes, in Ukraine, but not only. Since the last plenary, tens of thousands of Afghani citizens have been forced to flee in search of food and safety. 5 million children face famine, an agonizing and painful death, a 500% increase in child marriages and children being sold just so they can survive, and not a mention of it. Not here, not anywhere. No wall-to-wall TV coverage, no emergency humanitarian response, no special plenaries, not even a mention in this plenary, no Afghani delegations and no statements. My God, they must be wondering, what makes their humanitarian crisis so unimportant? Is it the colour of their skin? Is it that they're not white? They're not European? That their problems come from a US gun or a US invasion? Is it that the decision to rob their country's wealth was taken by a despotic US president rather than a Russian one? Because, my God, all wars are evil and all victims deserve support. And until we get on that page, we have no credibility whatsoever. There's no doubt.
That was Claire Daly, the MEP of Dublin. Fire. Fire in her veins. And this needs to be the tempo all over the world. You notice I didn't say around the world. But this is just the idea that I think we're going to start to see happen. We're going to start to see. What's that?
In fact, here, let me play one that dovetails with that, okay?
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Here you go.
Sean, you know, I've been saying this, that today the West is trying to chastise the world's largest democracy, India, and sermonizing that this is the stand India should take and that is the stand India should take. And I'd like to tell you, we have taken a stand. We are not going to fight a battle with Russia. That is a Western creation. This is a creation of the West. We are abstaining. We did not cause this war, Sean. We did not cause this war, and we will look out for ourselves. Because don't you for a moment think that we have forgotten history, Sean. I'd like to remind you that the UK and the US moved a joint resolution in the UN Security Council deploring the use of force by India in Goa, Daman and Diu when we were liberating Goa, and it was the USSR at that time that vetoed it. And let me also tell you, I don't forget 1971. The U.S. tried to actively harm my country in 1971, after Pakistan, launched Operation Genghis Khan against India. It was the U.S. that rallied with Pakistan and dispatched a 10-ship naval task force, the U.S. task force, from the 7th Fleet of the South Vietnam into the Bay of Bengal. And we still won in Bangladesh. So please, we cannot trust the Americans. We should never completely trust the Americans. Now for the British, because Sean, you're British. I think it's a great country. I love Great Britain. But my question here is very simple.
What?
We cannot forget how in 1971, the UK dispatched its aircraft carrier, HMS Eagle, into the Arabian Sea to bolster Pakistan and then retreated after the Russian fleet was spotted. So no, I do not forget my country's history. And you tried to pass resolutions against us in 1971 when the people of Bangladesh were being plundered and raped and murdered. At that point of time, when we were liberating Pakistan, you tried to pass a resolution against us. And while UK and France abstained, Russia vetoed it. So I never forget my country's history. And I truly believe that a great country like India will look out for itself. And I'm completely a believer in the recalibration of the world order. And while I condemn the casualties in Ukraine, I think we are doing a damn good thing, and I'm proud of my country for standing up for itself.
The recalibration of the world order.
Okay. Roe, you need to break that down for me. I got a few of my own ideas, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that there is what appears to be a faction battle going on. Like what he just said, the last few words, the recalibration of the world order, that there's going to be countries that are going to go along with this narrative of the Great Reset and New World Order. And then there's going to be sovereign nations that say, no, they make a stand and they're not going to do it. And I think it's possible that maybe India and Russia are, the part of this group. So,
well, I can tell you now.
Go ahead. I'm speculating.
Yeah, I did a lot of work on this as far as India. And this regards Kashmir. Now, Kashmir is a disputed territory, large. It could be considered
China and India.
Yeah, China, India, Pakistan.
Pakistan's involved.
And Afghanistan. And there's supposed to be over $1 trillion of rare earth minerals. Real rugged place. I mean, it's just like...
It's beautiful there, too.
Yeah, West Virginia on steroids. And so the reason why India is not condemning Russia, and they're getting along with Russia, they got a lot of contracts, a lot of military business deals, lots of activity back and forth. But they're watching Ukraine, and they're thinking, you know what? Why don't we take Kashmir? Let's not say anything. So I think the Indians, if China jumps, I think India is going to jump and take all of Kashmir and then lock out Pakistan, which might be a Pakistani-Indian war. Go ahead.
Well, that could get bloody because both Pakistan and India have nukes.
Yeah. Yeah, it will be bloody. I actually didn't work. I was a Babylonian slave in Jacksonville, Florida, working for Labor Ready. You show up, you get your little paycheck. And anyways, I was in a tough position. But anyways, I kept, there was this one guy. Everybody had to go take his checks to his convenience store. He didn't require ID or anything, and he would cash the checks. And I mean, he would have like $40,000-$50,000 every day. Anyways, so he noticed I was a little bit different than the average Babylonian slave. And he goes, why are you doing what you're doing? Tim, why don't you come work for me? And I says, you're the most courageous man in all of Tallahassee, Florida. No, Jacksonville, Florida. I says, I'd work for you, get myself between you, me, and like 50 grand cash. You don't think these Babylonian slaves commit crimes? And I mean, you got a little cage and everything, but it's just a matter of time. I said, I got kids. I just can't do that. So anyway, we talked about a lot of things, but when I hit on Pakistan, and then I hit on India, and when it came to Pakistan, this Indian became so enraged. He says, Pakistan does anything anymore, there will be no more, no more. He just raked his hand, and his, you know, his eyes were like reptilian. It will be like no more. And I just thought, wow, man, these Pakistani Indians, I mean, they really, something about these Muslims and Hindus, I mean, they really hate each other. I mean, they really like.
They have there's, you can look it up on YouTube. They have a ceremony, and because they, there's a history that goes way back, and there's a border crossing that now it's sort of a friendly kind of thing they do for tourists. But every day, and it's a ceremony of the closing of the gates. And there's a border crossing of India and Pakistan where there's the Indian and right at the Indian Pakistani border. And every dusk or excuse me, every night and the evening, they shut the gates and they synchronize it where the flags come down exactly at the same time. And they have like sort of a face off where the Indian guard border guards versus the Pakistani border guards. And they march really hard and they look each other in the eye and they shout and then they slam the gate exactly at the same slam, you know, and then they march up to each other and then they shake hands and everybody goes, yay. And then, but yeah, it goes way back. It's tradition. It's very interesting to watch. So just look up on YouTube, Pakistan Indian border closing ceremony and you'll find it.
Yeah. There's, and what people don't know is that once the Muslim horde actually crossed over into India, there was something like, it was like the biggest of all genocide. You think the biggest genocide would be like Russia and the Bolsheviks, the Zionists, killing, you know, 50, 60 million white Orthodox Russian Christians. No, it was actually Muslims. They, some say 700 million. But anyways, where the Muslims were able to get a foothold in India was through their very religion, through the caste system. Would you like to explain that, Mr. Rowe? Where all the Muslims came from and what caste were they part of?
Well, I don't know too much about the Muslim caste system. I know that the Indians have the caste system, you know, and the darker skinned Indians are the lower on the caste. I know somebody that had,
Spice
factory out there. Yeah, exactly. Untouchables. Yes.
Spice factory. They're the ones that became Muslims. So that's their very religion. The very Hindu religion.
They're like, they're the Brahma kind of people. The there's Hindus and there's all kinds of Sikhs and stuff. And, you know, but
yeah, those are the upper caste. But I'm saying where the big conversion came for Islam is that all the people that were part of the Untouchables, and these were the people that had the lowliest jobs. They had to pick up the buckets of crap early in the morning.
Well, I know that Gandhi united the Muslims and the Hindus for a while. And that's why the outside world, certain folks didn't like Gandhi, because then they became a threat. A united Hindu-Muslim community would be powerful and a voice, you know, on the global stage.
Yeah, it didn't take them long to split that. Then they split off East and West Pakistan, and Pakistan became Pakistan, and then Bangladesh, East Pakistan became Bangladesh. But, yeah, they split that. Yeah, that's for sure. But, yeah, so in the context of what we're talking about, it does look like India, they're even gaming out, watching what Russia's doing, and they're not condemning anything, because I think they're thinking in the back of their mind, you know, this would be a good time to pick up that Kashmir and lock it in. And that's a lot of money. That's a lot of wealth. I mean, that's a lot. There's gold, silver, but most important, they speculate over $1 trillion in rare earth type minerals in the Kashmir. Just Google it. Take a look at some images of Kashmir. I mean, it's like Alaska. It's just like really beautiful. Just gorgeous.
It's the entrance to Shangri-La.
Yeah, yeah. Rumors on that too, as well. Absolutely. But so it looks like the biggest threat we got coming, if we do threat assessment, are these particular dates in March and what the deep state plans on doing. And they seem to be have been blocked no matter what they try to do in the Ukraine. Now they tried this jet thing and nobody wants to do the jet thing. Biden, the last couple of hours, he goes, no, we're not doing that. Because once we get NATO involved and we put into a fly zone, then once we try to enforce it and we start getting planes shot down, we got to go picking people up. Also, that's going to force us to shoot Russian aircraft down. And then,
what they've done, they've sent a lot of equipment, though. I've seen that they've sent the Germans have sent stuff. Swedes have sent stuff. The UK, the United States. I mean, they've got NLAWs. They've got surface to air defense kind of things, things that are a little more sophisticated than a man pad. They've got ground to ground anti-tank, a lot of stuff, drones, small arms, grenade launchers, rocket launchers, these kinds of things, and anti-air, and it's sophisticated, some of the stuff. So that's being, I don't know how they're getting it in there. I guess they're smuggling it in, because what I've seen, there's some videos of the NLAWs being distributed from regular passenger cars, station wagons and trucks and stuff, and they open the trunk, and there's, you got four or five rocket launchers in there. And, but the Russians have said, anybody that's, and I guess they're evacuating a lot of places, cities. So the only people that are left are going to be people that are going to want to fight. And they're saying it's going to be up to them, because there's already a ceasefire. The Russians have said, we're calling a ceasefire, and the humanitarian corridors are open. So anybody making any problems is going to be dealt with. And it's surgically, that unfortunately the battalions out there have been, the Azovs have been hiding themselves in hospitals, residential. They fire from a residential area and then they move. It's sort of a hit and run kind of thing. Or they'll be in a school, and then they'll say, oh, look, the Russians shot a school up. Yeah, they did. They shot the school up, and there weren't any children in there. There were Nazis inside. But, of course, that would be labeled Russian propaganda. I don't know. Maybe it is. What can we believe? I mean, technically, I can't say that I'm there. I don't know. I can see a lot of the videos and stuff that's coming out from social. Everybody's got a phone, and the Internet's still up. And you have people like Gonzalo Lira, who was over there, running around with a hit team after him. There's this guy, he's in Kiev, and he had to flee to Kharkov, and he left just in time and found out from his neighbor that these guys are after him. And it's the same night they killed a mayor and some other folks. And he was like kind of laughing about it. He's all, this is different from my normal stuff. I mean, now I can say I've got a death squad hunting me down while I'm in hiding in a war zone. I mean, how many people can say that? It's kind of cool. It's like, okay, he's making light of it. But, so people will say, oh, there's nothing really going on there. No, there's stuff going on.
There's the reason why you can tell is that the numbers don't lie. You would not have oil at $130 a barrel.
Yeah, and there's way too much stuff coming out on things like Telegram and through the VPNs. Right. Twitter is not the place to go. You can put stuff on Twitter, but this is not the place to get information off of. I mean, Telegram is probably a little bit better because you've got people that are, Russians and Ukrainians that are right there on the scene, and they've got their phone and they're sending it live, and boom, this is happening, and you can geolocate and you can verify. There's multiple images, you've got different reports, multiples coming in. So you're back to you, Jacker. You're absolutely right. Oh, the numbers are not lying.
Yeah. And he was never going, he had never had the intentions of really doing this big destructor. He never had that intention. This guy didn't shut off the water, avoided shutting off the power where he could. In fact, one of his first moves when he came in is he reopened the canal that the Ukrainian government closed. That shut off the majority of water power for that region. That water,
the North Crimean Canal. That's North Crimean Canal. Yeah, that was the first thing they did, and they're restoring all the
So this whole Jacker, which I do have some questions. I wonder how, you came to the conclusion that you did based on what Ro and I were watching, and along with Scorpio, we all felt that this was kind of like a targeted. this dude's just trying to make a statement to NATO. China backing out of Taiwan too. Interesting thing. And I never even considered India having an issue with Kashmir.
That's major. That's like,
yeah, that's a big deal, and that's something that I don't think the U.S. would get involved in either. To be honest,
no, you can't. That's that's like mountain war. That's like
And over here in the Ukraine, that comment by Moscow or by where did it come from? Moscow, right? Yeah,
the Kremlin.
The Kremlin. Let me tell you, that's either some dirty-ass PSYOP soup right there, or, yeah, like Jacker says, they've done work this thing out. And some of the podcasts that I've been listening to, particularly, we'll go ahead and drop, whatever. This is, look, I listen to No Agenda from time to time. It's a great podcast. They've been around 14 years, 15 years, and they've been hilarious through this whole pandemic. Anyways.
Did you see the Russian general? There was another Russian general that came out with a press conference kind of thing, or I guess they call it a court release or whatever, a court brief. And he said that there will be updates. He was talking about the bioweapons. And he also said that it appears that the bioweapons have been evacuated and the materials that they have that would allow them to proceed have been taken out of the Ukraine. He was basically saying that, you know, that the United States or whoever, they were ordered to destroy the stuff, and they've taken some stuff and removed it. And he was alluding to that fact, and also that they had more documents and they will be updating later on this week. So maybe that has something to do with this. This came from one, I don't know which general it was. There's one that's giving war updates. It wasn't him. It was like another one, like that sits next to Putin kind of guy.
They're
very careful. The Russian government is extremely careful about their credibility when they come out and say something. So they wouldn't say this without, you know, having stuff.
Well, 30 biolabs. They have surrounded pretty much all of the political communities. They have the military just outmanned, outgunned, outmaneuvered. And they're going to leave. And they're going to say, okay, we got what we came for. And then they're going to give, I bet they do a data dump on their guy, their new Russian citizen, what's his name? Snowden. Yeah, you know that guy still living in Russia? That guy. How much you want to bet they start giving that guy documents and he starts making them available to everybody?
He's on the Caspian Sea getting a suntan.
I don't know. I think they're going to make use of this guy at some point. He's not getting a free ride. There's going to be a trade-off. This guy's an intel hub for them, Snowden. Absolutely. He's getting free reign in Russia. I bet he never runs out of vodka.
Oh, yeah. One thing you can bet for sure, now that all the corporations of the world have done what they've done to Russia, and now they are all alone.
I don't think they're going to get invited back in, Jacker.
No, I think Russia's gone on total war footing. I think everybody now, and Russia's got huge gold reserves. So they can keep, and they also got China.
You know how they got those gold reserves? They sold all their American reserves, American dollar reserves, and went and bought gold with it.
Guess who guess who the United States is sending a delegation to? Venezuela, because we're gonna lower the sanctions on you, Venezuela. Oh. By the way, you got any oil?
At $100 a barrel. Yeah, that's what the talk is. He refuses. Pelosi gets. I'll give it right to you. I'll give it back to you. That drunk ass Pelosi. By the way, drunk as a skunk,
bitch.
Absolutely plastered behind Biden.
during that state of this collapsed union. Drunk as a skunk. Anyways, gets behind her little podium, and she says, "Under no circumstance do I approve or agree with restarting oil production in the United States." That's a traitor right there. That's a traitor to this country, a traitor to the people, a traitor to the promise. And she's a murderer. She's a murderer.
Mass murder. Yeah, no, there's a lot of them. They're in the media. They're all around.
She's an insult to women.
Yeah.
Yeah, bitch looks like Dracula anyways. Like.
By the way, they say oil, the future speculative, like when you bet long oil contracts, it hit as high as $239 a barrel on the derivative speculative type contracts. So it's at 130 or 125 now, but they say it's going to go like way, way up. It's, it does look like that's going to be their major weapon and how they take down the middle class and, just literally drive us all into grinding poverty. And then you're going to have
to. Are we all just going to sit there and go, oh, you know, food is now too expensive. I guess I'm just going to go hungry. What do you think? You think we're just going to sit around and go, well, I mean, the price of everything is way too much. So, well, I guess we're just going to have to sacrifice. We're just going to have to take it, huh, Johnny and Susie? We're not going to get angry. We're just going to, you know, die of starvation.
Comply and live to fight another day, you dumb mother.
Is that what's going to happen, or are we going to get pissed? Are we going to riot? I don't know.
I think we're going to get absolutely hostile in this country, and I think it's exactly what they want. So I don't know where it's going to lead or what that looks like, but a lot of people are starting to come through, but is it soon enough?
And think about it. When it all comes down to it, like what? Let's say that, you know, all this shit happens and crazy stuff's happening all over the world because the root is the narrative says it's almost like the COVID thing, you know, that the reaction because what? Russia's moving, crossing some little line over there in Ukraine. Like it's that important, and what's the reason? We help to help the sovereignty and of the Ukraine and the duly elected government. Really, you mean the one from the coup, the Maidan coup? Really, and so we don't give a shit about the breakaway Donetsk Republic and Luhansk and in the Donbass with all those people that have been shelled by the frickin' Nazis for the last eight years or so. That doesn't mean anything because nobody does any research. They don't even know about that anyway. But we're still going to go to World War frickin' 3 and everybody's going to go into poverty because of that, because that's the main reason. Are you telling me because, oh, Putin is a megalomaniac and he's going to thump on the people so everybody else has to suffer? Back to you.
Yeah. So that begs the question, and now it comes back to, is there a serpent seed line, people at the top, that they are actually designing because they couldn't get COVID, especially
in that part? Is that the question, or is the question, who are they? Because we know they exist. We know they exist.
If you take a look at the agenda of what's happening on the earth, they're getting ready to go, and this World War III is going to be really bad. The starvation is going to be bad. Just the talk of all these over 300 bioweapons lab the United States has outside of the country, all over the world. Why? Who are these people that control the power and the money? And why does everything they do, they just seem to frick everything up? How could they possibly do that unless it was all intent? And so you come to the conclusion that there's got to be these other reptilian, human, hybrid shapeshifters, whatever they are, that are ruling over us. And they actually want to genocide off like the Georgia Guidestones, like 7.5 billion people. And they're going to get it. And it looks like they've chosen war. Now, this is how they're going to do it. and famine. Just the numbers on the food front, between the wheat production, between the fertilizer. Russia produces 40% of the fertilizer.
Yeah, how about that? Russia produces the world's largest account of fertilizer on a worldwide scale. The U.S., prior to Russia going into the Ukraine, was giving them billions of dollars for gas that we've now canceled. I guess they're in considerations of canceling the dealings with Russia. We can see it. We see the damage being done. We can acknowledge it. Here we are. We're being logical, critical about it. We're assessing the situ. Meanwhile, I'm up here and I'm surrounded by just a bunch of Mary Poppins. Isn't everything just great? It's lovely. We're singing. We're dancing. Everybody's hanging out like everything's fine. The foot is completely out the gas. Unbelievable how comfortable a lot of people are right now. Everybody needs to get a grip. All right, back to you, whoever. Jeez.
But the price of shungite is going to go up too, because the only place you can get shungite is from Russia.
Okay, yeah, I might have to get out of Cali. Bro, you might have to just disjoint, dude. We might have to just disjoint, dude.
Yeah, I know.
Man?
The other thing is what people don't realize is that for the percentage, let's say you get a hamburger for $1. You buy a hamburger, it's $1. I don't know what it is. I don't eat at McDonald's.
You got to go to I know it's a hamburger in a fast food joint, it's $5. A hamburger in like Five Guys is still 10 to 12.
Let's say a good hamburger then is $10
that's probably nationwide average. $10 is probably a good nationwide average.
Okay. All right. So in order, the cost of that hamburger, when it finally gets to you, out of that $10, a full $5 is oil money that made that hamburger happen. And I'm talking about transportation. I'm talking about, fertilizer. I'm talking about combine tractors, you know, that actually get the wheat for the bun. They take the wheat and they transfer it to the cattle that have to eat it. And then the truck picks up the cow, hauls it to get rendered with machines and everything else. It costs money to make. So when you see oil go up like it's going up now from what was just a little while ago, about $75 a barrel. This is like, it was like $75 a barrel like a month ago, and now it's $130. So when you see that going up, that is the amount of the cost of food that's also going to go up. It parallels. In fact, some guy did some kind of study on, he figured out that for every dollar that a barrel of oil went up, that X amount of people would die. They would like be in all the third world countries. But he figured out, you know, every dollar, X amount of human beings would die on the earth because they wouldn't be able to afford the cost or the cost created food going too high that caused more famine, you know, in Ethiopia or wherever. So you can see that just like COVID, where they locked us down for 2 years and the billionaires got like $8 trillion richer. And they took it out of the middle class and the small business. Now they're doing another play where they're going to drive everything up and use inflation. Because if you're a billionaire, you don't care if a gallon of gasoline is $5 or $500. That doesn't mean anything to you. But how long do you think the middle class can hold up under, you know, a $200 a barrel oil, where that would be, what would gasoline be? Gasoline would be, that'd be like $15 a gallon. How long do you think the middle class, like Mr. Rowe talked about, can survive the camp. So they actually figured out a way to bankrupt us without really bankrupting us, and they're doing it through energy. Brilliant, evil genius, all I can say.
Well, look, I'm, you know, my contract will have a gas card included, period, or she'll have to increase my salary to accommodate. And I'll get that. If you got the right kind of skills, you'll be able to fight this. But there's going to be a lot of people that are going to have issues, man. That's just going to be – that's insane.
This is going to have a chain reaction, and it's going to be a catastrophic failure.
That's going to be nuts.
Because gas is one of the, you know, foundational things with oil. You know, and if the cost of
is it going to be state by state? Because there are some states that will just start pumping their own gas. They'll start pumping their own oil.
Still, you're going to have the cost. The cost of transport is going to go up.
And which these states are going to take it on their own.
It's everything else is going to go up. You've already seen the cost of food, so everything is going to increase. And then that means that people are not going to be taking little holidays and stuff. So you know, places like hotels.
Oh, no, it's just going to be essential driving. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, except on gated rich communities like the mountaintop that you're on. The rich will always be able to come. And.
Well, there's one more thing. You build a little steel case in the trunk, a little lightweight, maybe a mix of alloy. You get yourself a little stack, a couple of hoses, a little duct work. Some vent work, and you get a little gasser in the trunk. Yeah. Uh-huh. And all you got to do is find wood.
Oh yeah, no, there'll be people get creative. But for people that they're not grasping what we're saying, it's just not the gasoline and the diesel and the transport that we're talking about. So, everybody right now, like I'm sitting in my office, all right? And so I'm looking around, okay, all right, there's a coffee mug that I spit into. There's a pair of scissors, all right, there's the vitamins. There's the lamp. There's the electric shaver. There's some matches. There's some candles, lights. There's some bunch of cables and telephone wires strung up there. There's the blinds. Okay, there's a rack. There's a corner cabinet. There's a fan.
There's a cockroach.
Right. Everything that I see and everything that you can look around right now and see in your room is made from oil. In one form or another, oil.
Maybe the cockroach.
So just think about that. It's all going to go up. Well, we got huge numbers. I don't know if anybody wants to keep on going, but I'm not going to do it alone.
Yeah, we'll be back. Hey.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Interested in the paranormal, murder mystery, real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's Ivan Baker. Welcome to the Crypt.
We're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard, you've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
look!
It is a flesh wound. I don't believe I'm seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, stupidity.
I'll do you for that. Oh, what? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible!
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs!
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Hi, everybody. It's me, the Fetch, host of Inside the Eye Live. Before the Sunday mainstream media, political pundit talk shows, there is Inside the Eye Live, where we break down some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing and informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio, at freedomslips.com. So join me, the Fetch, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
We are live. How's everybody doing? Welcome back to hour number three. Like I said, we're going to continue this. We're an hour from midnight on the West Coast. I'm still your MC here. The mechanic, and I'm Jai. The lineup is just as strong. Anybody new that I haven't heard from yet? Jerbear, can you put your hand down, please? Thank you. Deacon John, Jerbear, Mr. Rose, Sergeant Miller, the hijacker, and myself. Sergeant Miller, haven't heard from you. You out there working this evening?
Yeah, I'm on that roll. I just had a few other calls came in. That's why I was
all right.
Kind of silent.
All right.
But I just wanted to, Jack was talking about World War III. I always been thought we've always been in World War III since 9/11. If you really look at the field.
World War III? Yeah, because the war is on the people, right? So.
Yeah, they identified who the enemy is. And if you don't know you're the enemy.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a theory out there that we're actually, depending on how you want to put it, but we're actually in World War V. Jones, Alex Jones says World War IV, somebody like, Douglas Dietrich, he says World War V because the actual first World War was with the Holy Roman Empire, which was actually a nation, and it was a 7-year war, Napoleon, attacked Russia, Waterloo, all that, and that.
What century was that, brother?
That was like 18th century, right? 19th century, 18th century. Then you had World War II, World War I, World War II.
Waterloo, that was 17th century. Waterloo? Right?
Yeah, it was with Napoleon.
1700s
be the 19th century.
Right. Yeah. I don't know the dates, but so World War III was actually, World War IV. World War II was actually World War III. and that World War IV was actually at the fall of the Soviet Union. It was a different type of world war. This is what Jones says. So that was actually World War IV that went down. And so now we're actually into World War V. So what we're actually looking at now is, we all know it, it's going to be about the money. And this is why I don't think China is going to attack Taiwan. It's because China knows that one little more bump of the cup of this whole world crazy financial system we got, and it's all going to shatter. And I think China's gamed it out, and they go, wait a minute. We're sitting in the best position. We got the manufacturing. We got Russia. We got our energy. We got everything we need. We just need to keep doing what we're doing, keep buying up American farmland. I mean, they bought Smith. What's the pork bacon people that China bought up? The big American pork. Smith, not Smith and Western.
You're talking about Smith
Premium?
Yeah, Smithfield, right. And so China's just saying, you know what? We can win this thing just through money if we just keep doing what we're doing. If we attack Taiwan, we're going to know everything shatters. Go ahead.
Problem for Russia and China, respectively, is with the earth changes that are coming, they're not going to have enough arable land to feed their population. So that's why Russia's – one of the reasons why Russia's going after Ukraine, because Ukraine is like 25% of the world's grain production exporter. Plus other reasons, for strategic reasons, also the energy. But also China's got a real problem, because when the earth changes fully take place, they can't feed their population. That's why they want our land. And that's what this is about, what they're fighting over.
Say that again about China. I didn't quite hear you.
China. So when the earth changes fully take effect, China will not be able to feed its population, because they won't have the arable land that they need after the earth changes occur. So that's what they're fighting for, and they want our land because they need it to feed their population. That's what this is about.
Yeah, well, it's a fact that
I think it's part of it, but I don't think it's like that. I think NATO's the main route, right? The presence of NATO in Ukraine. They want Ukraine to remain a neutral territory. I gotta think that that's their biggest concern, that type of security, right? And then second to that is, you know, that's a threat to their sovereignty.
Here's how serious the United States has taken it, and the rest of the world. If this is any, you know, metric of anything, Biden sends Kamala over Harris to Poland to solve the Ukraine crisis. So she's. So I guess they're going to really.
How many different hotels is that hooker staying?
Is this going to be her first trip to Europe?
Probably her last. You know, I saw something on Twitter. Somebody in Las Vegas, I was filming the railway. It was all military, just a ton of military cargo going east. That's just to show that video. I tweeted it. I don't know if you caught it, Mr. Rowe, but I couldn't get it to play, but in there. But it was a trippy to see all that cargo going east, who knows where. And it was camoed with green, you know, like forest green, not desert camo color. Over.
Okay. Woodland camo? Is that what you're talking about?
It's like green camo. It's not the desert camo stuff that we always saw.
Okay.
It's camouflage.
Camouflage.
Right. And Jer Bear, you might not be too far from the truth, because if they need to, and they have to, I'm pretty sure, get rid of chlamydia. Somebody came up with chlamydia, Harris. I think that was Dr. Flattery or somebody. Anyways, if chlamydia, Harris, if they got to get rid of her, what's the best way to do it? You know, maybe she goes to Poland, and then maybe like a Russian with a Stinger missile takes her down, and they blame the Russians, you know, that it was a terrorist cell group in Russia that actually did it. And now we need a new vice president and it was the evil old Putin that did it again. I mean, so everything's in play. That's the thing. But the biggest thing is it's the money. What we really want to concentrate on is when we think the economic collapse happens, because then when it happens, everything shatters. And I'm talking about everything. Power grids up and down, rolling blackouts, internet's up and down. I mean, everything changes, everything. And so that's the one thing, that's the strike point that we need to be looking at, is what is actually going to cause that. And like Bix Weir, he actually believes that it's not too far off at all. In fact, he's back on a silver bandwagon. I guess you know that, Mr. Rowe.
Who's that?
Bix Weir, he's got a the Rudolph, the thing that goes in the toilet. Road to Ruda, right. On YouTube, right. And so he's saying buy big silver.
Yeah.
He's also a big crypto guy. Yeah. He's big on crypto, and then he's not big on gold, and then he's big on silver. So crypto, silver, and he says that we're right at the point of where everything is getting ready to go, and we just need one big bump of the cup, which is the reason now I say that it's going to be September. I'm thinking that China is not going to do anything. I'm thinking what's
going to be in September?
Then I work off prophecy, September 24th or 25th. The first fruits, the feast of it's the feast of Purim, and if somebody's done some prophetic work and they go, if we are going to get at the start of the Book of Revelation or like a major judgment, then it would start on one of these feasts, like the first feast of Purim, I think it's called, and that's September 26th, 27th, and then there's lots of other people that have had dreams and visions and everything, and they say it's all going to be September. So now our preponderance of so many people, and these are like people, these are farmers and housewives and children having like weird dreams and stuff. And there's people on the internet that track all this. Zen Garcia just did one guy, and that's all he does. He threw out all his biblical doctrine, and all he does is try to find authentic. He's got like 1,000 people now. I'm trying to think of his name. Go to Zen Garcia. It's the last couple of ones he did. I think it was on Revolution Radio, come to think of it, like last week or a week before. But anyways, so this guy compiles all these, and through the compilation, sort of like what Cliff High does through his spider bots with the general, imprint of what's coming across the internet, you know, all the different voices and everybody. This guy,
Jack,
does.
Someone in the chat room asked you if I came for some models. Did I miss it? Ursa Major said. So I'm just bringing that up for you.
Oh, no, I've got 126,000 models.
Well, I'll just bring it up.
No, this is this guy. That's all he does. Now, I think he's wrong, because he talks about that Russia is going to go on to it talks about the bear is going to pick up 3 rib bones in his jaw, 3 nations, Latvia, Lithuania, and Ukraine, before he actually stops. But then I think he's a Christian Zionist. So he looks through colored glasses too, like Joel Skousen.
Those rose-colored glasses are something else, aren't they?
Yeah. When you got preconceived ideas and you got glasses on, so to speak, and you see things through a certain prism, or even if you're a Christian, like Tucker gets after me because I see things through a Christian type of prism. You know, a worldview. But nevertheless, when you got those kind of glasses on, like Joel Skousen does. He just cannot get over the fall of the Soviet Union. He thinks it's all one big trick. They all went underground, and they're really there. And this is all a dog and pony show for worldwide communism to take over. And he's one of these old Cold War warrior guys. And, you know, he doesn't have, like, glasses. He's got, like, permanent contacts. He's never going to see it different. And that he thinks that the Russians and the Chinese, the Americans are going to build them up so they can do a first strike on the United States. And then we're not going to respond. And then we're going to unite all the Americans and everybody for a one world system. And then they're going to break out the real weapons that America has and then create the one world order out of the first strike of the United States, which, I mean, there's Dmitry Dudeman. He's got some prophecies along that line. So, but anyways, my main point I'm trying to say is I'm thinking China is not going to move like I thought, because they know if they take Taiwan based on what happened in the Ukraine and all the corporations and all the money, and it's crazy all over, that will be the last straw, and that the whole worldwide economic system collapses, and that the only ones that are going to end up are going to be like the gold, silver guys, Bitcoin people that got their own wallet, you know, and the rich. And it goes into Mad Max and everything shatters, which would be the red horse. Be violence everywhere. In fact, there might be already the beginning of the violence, because these banks are already snatching these bank accounts on all these sanctions of these rich guy, rich Russians. And good luck. If you bankers think you can go ahead and steal some rich Russian guy of his $10 million bank account, hope you got good security, because he's got a lot of money and he's going to be coming for you. So, we could be on the precipice of, oligarchs whacking bankers, which, you know, I don't know. No,
the will of mankind.
What's that?
You're saying they'll do that for the will of mankind, in essence. Knocking out the bankers and showing us.
Ultimately, they can't have it. At some point, there will have to be like a burning party, Jerry. You know what that is?
Keep firing.
So you have a collection of these, they like to call them oligarchs. We like to call them just corrupt bureaucratic scum, you know, communist people on the run, people that are about to get exposed, like Fauci, Gates, Soros, all these scumbags of the world. You know, if they get exposed, you know, that tends to be the nature of the whole thing. It's just they start running and they start selling, you know, what they do with their finances. You get what I'm talking about, Chair Bear?
Pardon me?
You get what I'm talking about? Go ahead, Jacker, continue.
Yeah, and then you got the other point, is that once it hits into the head, and this is what the economic collapse, that it's got to, like, be every man for himself. Then what happens is something like what just
and
happened.
Every company, right, as well. Every company, right, for themselves. Every corporation.
Every company. Yeah, every man, right. And so then what you get is you get a fracturing all the way down to the individual level. So this Russian skipper, actually he was a chief engineer and he was Ukrainian. He was chief engineer on this 600-foot yacht or something. I don't know how big it was. It was a Russian guy. And the Russian guy was, you know, in the orbit of the great and mighty king of Mother Russia, Vladimir Putin. So it's one of his, like, lieutenants. He's a Russian oligarch. And so this guy, what he did when he saw what was happening in Ukraine, he immediately transferred it over to his Russian owner, who owned the yacht, and he tried to sink it. So once this economic collapse happens, and everybody knows this is the end of days, bioweapons are being broke out, people are dying left and right, this is not going to be put back together, Then it's the actual security staff of these rich people that they got to actually watch out for. I'm talking about it's Yuri who stands guard at the front door with a submachine gun protecting the oligarch to make sure nobody comes in his castle to kill him. Yuri starts thinking, you know what? Everything's going every which way. You know, like,
come on, Jack. I'm surprised you don't come out with this. Because the night before they realize they're going to throw everything away, they're just going to, you know, have a little bit of a party, right? They're going to have a little bit of a celebration. You know, the soldiers and the guards and the security, they're not going to be aware of this. They're going to eat their meal like they would at any other gathering. And they just aren't going to wake up in the morning, Jagger. That's how these people work.
Yeah, it could be that they got a whole nother crew, maybe that have been grown up underground, that don't know how evil they are, and they got to get rid of the topside crew. So, yeah, they all have a big meal.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't wake up. Yeah, it could be.
They don't wake up. I'll drink the Kool-Aid, little Jim Jones on some people.
Yeah, so what my final analysis is I'm thinking thinking it's September.
Oh, really? September? For what specifically?
Something big that happens then. But I don't think China's going to go. Now, there might be something in March with all these really strange occultic dates. I mean, we got two more dates. Go ahead.
3/11. What do you know about 3/11?
Yeah, I heard that one too.
Yeah.
You got 3/11.
Yeah.
You got 3/15. Yeah. The 15th of March, the Eyes of March.
Well, 3/11 is significant only because it's going to be 3/11/22. I mean, that is a hell of a lineup. 3/11/22.
That's my birthday, by the way.
Oh, really?
There you go.
Wow. So, Sergeant Miller, you want to tell us how old you are? Well, wait a minute. Let's all try to guess how old he is.
He'll be 44.
43.
There you go. You got it, Jim.
Yeah, right. I got to give some opposition.
Oh, you could get a second one.
Come on.
Get a grip.
Yeah. Okay, so. Jack,
and what they're saying, numbers don't lie, right?
No.
So that 3/11/22, what does that tell you, Jacker? What model is that?
Well, I'm the one who brought that up. And I tell you, Jer-Bear, the number 33 by itself, and then you take 3/2/2, you know, that's a little Masonic, a little secret society, a little skull and bones.
I know about that, but.
Okay. So 33 in and of itself is an honorary degree in Freemasonry, all right? And, you know, these guys, these clowns like Shaquille O'Neal and these political goofs like Newt Gingrich, you know, they get these honorary aprons. And on the apron it says, Order de Chao, right? Order through chaos, all right? And that's exactly what's on the table right now, folks. Order through chaos. Your education, the schooling, most likely what your parents taught you and what they were taught, all a lie. I'm sorry to report that you've been lied to the majority of your lives.
Mm-hmm.
About you owe it to yourself to question everything. You know why they chose Asians to remain in the population and to kill off the Anglo-Saxon, Black, and Hispanic? Because Latins, in particular, have a nature of rebellion. All right? And then it goes down the food chain. You take a look at the rest of us. We all tend to fight. We all tend to bicker and complain when things just aren't right. We feel it. We tend to, where eventually we get done with it and we fight back. They came for the guns. No, we turned around and came for their lives and they left. That was the first revolution. I don't know if this is going to be another revolution in quite those terms. Technology has changed drastically. But, man, for me, the writing on the wall just has like a huge collage of what would be a clown show. It's literally a Circus Vargas event. We're all participants in the audience over at Circus Circus over at Vegas right now. And our coordinator is Joe Biden?
Yeah, like P.T. Barnum said, what was it saying? He had to say like about fooling people. It's the greatest show on earth. Which had a P.T. Barnum used to say in his back in the day when he's had the Circus Corporation.
It really does seem crazy. I mean, nobody else is wearing masks, but when you turn the TV on, you see the most prominent people, heads of state. They're all running around in black masks and stuff, and you're just thinking, you know, what kind of world we're in? You got a senile guy that's supposed to be leading the most powerful nation on earth. You got, I mean, just crazy stuff all over.
Yeah, that's why you can't buy into any of it. It's all comic book. Comic relief sometimes. Some of the stuff they fooled us with over the last 2 years, I got to bring it back around again. It happened twice. They did it to us twice. On the front page of a few newspapers across the country, we had the toilet paper shortage. On the back page, we had a story about the planet Uranus having a gas leak. Front, back, get it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, even
it's Pluto. It's the pun of their sick jokes, Jacker.
Yeah, even the face of Pluto. If you actually take a look at the NASA actual footage, you can take the dog Pluto from Disney and you can overlay it on the face of the planet Pluto. I mean, it's just like William Casey said, when everything the American people believe is basically false and a lie, then we would have fulfilled our jobs. And when I'm hearing Jeff Rentz tonight, and he's on the verge of becoming a flat earther. In fact, he's so mad, he goes, some good argument, but I'm going to fix this. I'm going to figure this out. And I already know when somebody says that, good luck. There's 100 million of us that tried it. So literally, they got our hell heads full of lies from the beginning. They start at Santa Claus, and they don't stop. And they just
go. Yeah, the Tooth Fairy. Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny. Unbelievable that they would take, because they're pagans, all right? They're pagans. They're ritualistic in their actions, right? So they took Esther, the goddess of fertility, the pagan goddess of fertility, had a son named Jesus, spelled like Jesus, pronounced Jesus. This is what I understand. And they took it out and they created Christianity. And then you have this Jesus guy, right? Dies 3 days later, rises, escapes from the cave, right? Died on the cross for our sins. He rose 3 days later, Easter. On the third day, we celebrate his rising. You know, well, look, we hunt eggs on Easter. It's a sick joke.
Mm-hmm.
And people do it religiously.
And what's the Statue of Liberty really represent? That's Statue of Liberty.
ISIS.
And it's on a Starfort Foundation. And that's what's going about it.
Yeah, and it's a trainee. Liberty is a dude. You can't make it up. I mean, just like everything you turn to is crazy. But really, listen, before we get off the numbers thing, I do got to interject this because I do believe this is going to be really, really big. And I hope I'm wrong, but on the 18th, I'm talking about March 18th, which is what, 10 days away or so.
318 is 666.
Right. If you add up, 3, 18, 2, 22, it adds up to 666.
He tried, however, to get me.
He tried to get me on the numbers. Go ahead.
Right. Well, anyways, no, it's even deeper than that. So not only is it a full moon date, and they like to do things all full moons, but it's the 18th, which is also a 666. So that's a double 666. So when you add up, you know, the first three sixes with the second three sixes, guess what you get? You get 36, which is a triple three sixes. If you add up all sets of those three sixes, you know, three sixes, three sixes, three sixes, it comes to 54, which is a master occultic number 9. So we have something actually very, very rare that's going to happen on the 18th. And these people that are all into this, like Luciferian, occultic, numerology, astrology, whatever, this is like a really big date for them. That's why I thought that's when China was going to hit Taiwan, until I realized, wait a minute, China doesn't have to do anything. They just have to keep making money, and they win. And so I'm just thinking, I don't know what's going to happen. Or, and it's a Friday. It's on a Friday, which is at the end of the week. And so if they're going to do something, if they're going to create a worldwide collapse or blackout or whatever they're going to do, just watch out for the 18th. It's a big, big number. Very rare, triple 666 type number, master number 9, full moon. There's some other things that go along with it, but it's one of those like 9/11 type dates now that we can see backwards. It's like one of these big event type things. So we will see. Hopefully I'm wrong. I wanted to get that out there for everybody.
All right. Well, look, I remain optimistic to a degree, but I'm not full of opium by any means. I'm not walking around with a can of opium. I want to hit all of the talking points. I still want people to be armed with the right knowledge. I think it's very important that people listen to these shows. You know, some of us have some differing opinions, you know. But I think the root of what we try to do is deliver the truth. Now, we have where our opinions come in is that how it will reflect on us. That's typically where our opinions derive to and where they come from, right? The narratives aren't created by us. We only challenge them. You know, where we all sit right now, if we don't start asking more questions, man, then okay. Everybody on the panel, everybody listening, first and foremost, find your way into freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, make a donation, do something for yourself if you want, get some swag, help the station out, become a member of PayPal, or not PayPal, sorry, F PayPal, become a member of Patreon, that would help us out tremendously. But like I said, how much obligation do you feel, if any? Because right now, I'm with Roe. I'm with Mr. Roe. Mr. Roe has told me more than one time he's black-pilled. The black flag is mounted over the garage door and the driveway. All right? His neighbors are giving him weird looks like he's the burbs under the stairs. All right? Okay? I'm black-pilled as well. All right, I got the don't tread on me and the black flag is coming. Now, that's not for everyone. Where are we, everybody? How much obligation do you have to go wake people up? I'm not sharing my black pill with anybody. I can barely get enough red pills around. How much further are we going to wake up the sheeple before you give yourself an aneurysm?
Yeah, now that's the question, mechanic. It's a very good one. And so we're at the point, the internet, if you take the internet, it was like born like a baby in like 1991 or 94 or whatever. You know, Bill Gates talked about how great it's going to be. And next thing you know, he becomes one of the richest guys, right? And so now the internet is probably about, what would you say, let's say 30 years old, 91 to 2021, 2022. So it's all grown up, which means you've had a whole generation of people that if they wanted the knowledge, now you can't do it now, like even on flat earth, you've got to really struggle to find information on flat earth. There's so much disinformation out there that you got to go 10 pages back to actually get like a Mark Sargent or Jaronism or, you know, Globebusters or something like that to find out, you know, really what's going on. So it's hard, but there was a day in which you could click a button and you could actually see a real live dragon flying in Taiwan. You could find out anything on any conspiracy theory, any knowledge. You were like a god that had knowledge. So everybody's had that opportunity. Now, what happened? What happened seems to be that the very nature of human beings kicked in. And so once they got access to like gods, to the universal knowledge that man had collected, what did they do? Well, a big chunk of people went and they wanted to look at, you know, little naked titty girls doing porn. That broke off a chunk. Another group became gamers. You know, they wanted to play, give me one of the games they play, StarCraft. They wanted to become gamers. Some people, Bix Weir or whatever, they went into financials and, like Mr. Rowe, they're playing this crypto game. All right. They went that way. So, you know, certain people, little old ladies, they all of a sudden a knitting club. That's the little artery that where they went down. So what I'm saying is that everybody seems to have made their decision because the kind of information and what we traffic in is the highest level. But what comes with the highest level? Sleeplessness, depression, sadness, being sin eaters. I mean, really having like crappy lives because you know too freaking much. I mean, you know, sadness, tears. I mean, who would live in our world? I mean, think about it, you guys. I mean, I don't even blame my children. It's like they say, I don't want to come into your world anymore, Dad. You know, of course, they grew up with me, right? And they ran the other way. But why come into this world? I mean, you know, you gotta deal with, you know, the next terror. They're going to use, like, bioweapons lab on us. What? There's children with black eyes that are born, black-eyed babies? I mean, who would come into this world if they had it? It's like the guy in The Matrix. He was honest. He goes, come on, Neo, or come on, not Neo.
You're talking about the state. You wanted a state.
Yeah, he says, would you have really taken the red pill or the blue pill? Would you really have taken that stuff if you knew you were going to be eating this crap the rest of your life, this sludge? Wouldn't it be better if you stayed in the other world where you could, like, eat steaks and, like, you know, go out and, you know, date, you know, 10 models and you believed it even though you were asleep? And so, you know, there's a lot of people that makes the choice, I'm not taking that pill. I'm not taking the blue pill or the red pill. I forgot what it is. What was the pill that woke up Neo? It was a
red pill.
Yeah, it was a red pill. Yeah. So he said, would you really have taken the red pill, you know, if you knew this was on the other side, this was the real world? No, of course you wouldn't. And, of course, then he betrayed everybody and tried to go back into the system so he could eat rare steak and wine. And he goes, I want to be somebody with money, but not too rich, not too much so I stand out. But, you know, he just cut his deal. But that's what people have done. After 30 years of the internet, that is what humanity has decided. They've all kind of found their spot, and that's where they're going to go, and it's where they're going to stay. And so anyways, the answer to you, mechanic, is that I don't really believe that there's any more like waking people up the way we do it the only thing is going to wake people up is when all of a sudden their wife walks out on them, or they get evicted, they lose their job, they're all of a sudden in the street, and then it starts to dawn on them, what was I thinking? What was this really about? Who is really doing this stuff? And then when that happens, then the red horse comes and people start killing each other.
Well, okay, Jacker. I see your point. I think we're on the same page, and I raise you this vaccine regret campaign that I mentioned earlier. All right. It's in addition to like the overall, you know, it's these. All right. Now, when you say people are out going out killing each other, are you referring to that group as well? Is that group included in that equation? The vaxxers, yeah. the people that, like, let's say, you know, somebody's sitting around and they're starting to notice all this AIDS propaganda that's coming out. And because they got tested for COVID a gazillion times, that they head down to the local clinic and they get tested for HIV and boom, they're positive. And then further blood tests reveal that they don't have an immune system anymore following their booster.
Right. It's going to be people that realize that they've been poisoned. They've been duped. And they realize, they've been duped, and then they all of a sudden find out that the doctors were making money off of them.
Who do they go after first, though? That's my question. Is it the doctor? Is it the politician? The neighbor? The parent? The family member? Think about this. Mom told Uncle Charlie, you can't come see your nephew unless you're vaccinated.
No, that's collateral damage. No, I'm talking about, it's going to be the people that have been involved directly in mass murder and they knew it.
No. But then he turned around and got vaccinated and now little Charlie doesn't have a mom anymore.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's why they're doing what they're doing. They're taking the whole world to war, is they want everything. They say the most.
They're not taking the world to war, though, Tony. If he backs out of Ukraine, what's going to happen? They're going to bring NATO right in anyways?
No, that's what I'm saying. What's going to happen on the 18th? I think they're going to go to shatter somehow the whole world. They'll do it through the economics.
Okay. Roe, do you have the quote in front of you still, or is it easily accessible?
What Roe says, $50 a gallon gasoline. What happens to the world when that happens to us? Everything goes into collapse.
It starts $200 an hour.
Home invasions, the whole works. Kidnapping, the whole works. It goes into third world type, narco criminal type of society. It all starts to break.
Yeah, man. Listen, dude. I've had nightmare scenarios with this in my head. All right, man. I know what this looks like, dude. Down to the core. It's going to come to who you know. It's not going to be total Mad Max everywhere. But the potential
mechanic, you're going to be sitting on your mountaintop where the rich and the elite come for R&R.
They'll close this town off, bro. They will. I have no doubt in my mind they will shut down the 395 both directions. Done. That's all you got to do.
You got an airport somewhere nearby.
Do. That'll be for the elite. I'm just talking about for those trying to escape the city in their little Jeep Wagoneer or their Suburban, huh?
The Tesla.
Yeah, the Tesla. Oh, I can't wait till the Tesla tries to escape from L.A. in the middle of a, you know, global economical, political collapse. I mean, at the same time we start to collapse, you know, financially when your dollar just can't buy you anything and the UBI is being pushed and, you know, that gas is, you're talking $50 a gallon. It's insane to even think that. Because that literally shuts every single piece of motor-reliant commerce off. That's what that does. That's what that picture is. There's no There's no mode of transportation for the industries that supply all the goods. And then even with that, the power plants, if we're energy dependent and now we have remote control trucks, we don't need Sergeant Miller anymore. Oh, we could just shut those off too. Sorry. Oh, and all the food went bad. It was
really well, I can tell you right now, people like Sergeant Miller are not going to put up with a remote control truck. He's going to be sitting up on the ridge on Highway 95 with a sniper rifle. He's going to be taking his
time. Oh, boy. Here we go.
No, they will not.
Here we go.
No, they will not allow those people-less trucks to drive. They're going to wreck them. They're going to shoot the tires out. They're not going to let it happen.
All right. Well, look, let's hope it never gets to that degree. I mean, you know, what I will say, not a whole lot, actually. I'm going to take it all back. I'm not going to say jack shit. So, you got to be real careful with these things.
If you want,
how are you feeling about California living out there now, man?
Yeah, look, I'm in a commie state.
I'm sorry.
I'm in a commie state. I realize that. But here's the thing: the most odd set of circumstances I've shared the last 2.5 years with you guys. You know, 2 years, 2.2 months. You know. It's nutty what I've experienced, and you've heard some of it. I'm living in some type of utopia, socialist complacency up here, where the hypocrisy is so vagrant. Today, I get a report from one of my group members. They contact me, you know, hey, this and that, start sending me pictures. And they want me to put these people on blast, so I will. Jennifer Wildman, school superintendent, at an event without a mask. And no social distancing. There's all kinds of people there that she knows are unvaccinated. She's smoothing with everybody. And then the kids are still in masks at school. She's the school attendant. The kids are still in masks at school until the 14th. But here she is out there, not social distancing. Not wearing a mask. And she's the one pushing for the mask on students. She's the one telling students every day, you got to wear it. Got to be safe. Got to be safe. Here she is. You know, all of this is going to come to light. And your county too. All of it. All of it's going to come. It may not come as quickly. We got big things happening. We just filed 20 demand notices. Deacon, you would be, I haven't said much about it on the air, but you would be proud what we filed today. We put together 20. They're kind of like affidavits. They're called demand notices. We listed violations. We put in FOIA requests and a few other oddball things. And we really think we're going to steer the pot with this first round. And then depending on what they do in the next 10 days, we're going to come at them again. We got another plan of action. So we're really starting to make moves. We feel good about it. Our foot's not coming off the gas, but the communities still, they're blind. Jacker, you guys, Deacon, Roe, they're blind to this garbage, man. It's really a shame. It really is. I'm talking to, you know, one half of a divorced couple with their kid there at work, you know. And the struggle is real for these people that are kind of working between, you know, kind of like the dual family, the kids every other week going to another family. She's awake to the nonsense. She knows it's all bullshit. She's against all the mandates and the vaccine, and she refuses to let her son get vaccinated. And the kid's open to it, which is great. His mind is focused, and he's thinking with logic, and she's done a really good job at informing him. But the dad, complete nut job, just whack. The dude can't see the trees through the forest, or the forest through the trees, right? Forest through the trees, you know. And it's a real shame because these people are going to go by the wayside. They're going to make decisions that will either cost other people or themselves their life. Because they're not looking at the same things we are. They're not preparing for the same things we are. They're not in this state of mind of necessity. They're going to be the first ones to go and panic. They really are. And they're going to come knocking on the door of people they should have been listening to years ago. And quite frankly, I don't know if I'm going to be opening that door, gentlemen. I think the disrespect and the blowing off of my commentary. I'm talking
rich people,
two and a half.
Cheat you out of it. Don't what? Try to cheat you out of it is what they're going to do. Because that's how they get over on people, and that's how they make their money. So just watch out, man. You know?
They'll try. You know what? I got a bunch of people out right now collecting signatures from me. The volunteers coming at me going, how can I help you get signatures? Boom, they're doing it right now. It's beautiful. People coming at me. They like my program. They like my, you know, my platform where I stand. I swear to God, if I get in, it's just going to, I don't know. They're going to have to get rid of me somehow, which they probably will find a way. But in the meantime, I've been looking at laws from like the 1870s. Some of the paperwork that I can file as an elected official. I can't even get into details because it'll just give them too much preparation. It's starting to boil up here. It's a simmer right now. I'm very pleased. I'm very happy with this show, by the way. This has been great. A great 3 hours. Where are we right now? We're at the midnight hour. We are, right? Aren't we? We are. Yeah. All right. Yeah, we're a couple of minutes away from the midnight hour. I mean, look, if we got another hour in us, fellas, I mean, I'll keep running. My dog's passing out.
We got something historic that actually happened, and that was Tucker tonight for 16 minutes.
Tucker made history. Okay.
He did his rant. I think this is going to be the 16 minutes everybody's going to remember that he actually gets knocked off the air because he went way too far. I mean, he went like.
Oh, you got that, dude. So we'll play it on the when we come back at the beginning of the hour.
And then what I will do, anybody says pause, I'll pause it, and you can commentate. But he had the MMO guy talk about, I'm not getting involved in a war. I don't know what the Federal Reserve is. It looks like a private bank. He went to Newland. He talked about that Newland actually pulled off a coup, which is the reason why we got the situation in the Ukraine. I mean, he just went too far.
And you know who else went too far? And I think is having a complete reversal of fortune, a complete, total, this dude is literally transforming in the public eye. Jimmy Dore. Jimmy Dore coming back around to the light. I don't know what got into this guy, but you got to check in with Jimmy Dore on YouTube. They're probably going to throw him off of YouTube soon, but I think he's on a couple of other platforms. This is a stand-up comedian, leftist, self-proclaimed leftist, Democrat, right? Dude, this dude is trashing his own party like I've never seen a guy in that party do. Not only that, Gates, Fauci, the mask, the vaccine, all of it. This dude's calling it all a hoax. This guy's mainstream. Calling it a hoax. Very impressed by Jimmy Dore right now. So, if the message gets out to you, Jimmy, good job. You still got a long ways to go. Go out and buy a gun. It'll do you a favor. I know you're unarmed, but go get a gun, Chief. Come on. Don't be a goof. All right. Yeah, if you're unarmed at this stage, man, I got to tell you, what happened? What happened?
You're behind the curve.
Yeah, you got some real problems. If you are unarmed,
make sure you have a lot of Kalashnikov ammunition for that rifle you got.
Yeah, well, I got plenty of that. That I haven't shot in a while. What I'm short on is 45. So, I don't know. I don't know what's going to become of this. If it doesn't start in the county for you guys, it probably won't ever start. because that's what it's really going to come down to. You know, it's going to come down to the soil in your county, the acreage.
It's going to come down to you're right, Mechanic. It's going to come
the relationships,
down
the communities.
It's going to come down to, you're right, your community, your neighborhood. At the end of the day, some guy, he actually gamed it out, and he says, take and draw a 10-mile circle around where you live. He goes, that's who the people, all the people that you're going to be dealing with.
Yeah.
Because most people, you know, you walk more than 10 miles, a gallon of water is like 8 pounds. And so you can only walk so far without water. And so he basically says that's just so to draw those rings around. So you're going to actually be one of the strong men there on your mountaintop. In fact, there might be guys like in Afghanistan that are, you know, bringing their children to the mullahs or whatever. You may end up with like 15, 20 virgins, Mechanic, guys begging you to, here's my daughter, carry on my bloodline.
I don't want your headache, Chief. no thanks. You know, here's the thing. This is not about the accolades for me. I just refuse to live as a slave. So I will fight on my feet until I take my last breath. So that'll be it. Whatever kind of fight that is, I will adapt. And, you know, I'm going to meet force with force. If there's no force, then there's no force. I think that's got to be the mindset of everybody right now. I'm well equipped. I'm armed with the facts. I know the research shows that there were existing cure-alls for COVID-19. I know they suppressed it. Who is they? Well, it's not the Here, They, and Why company. No, it's Anthony Fauci. It's government agencies, CDC, NIH, NIHD. It's these companies that are publicly sponsored, if not publicly 100% controlled, like the NIH, FDA. These agencies, gentlemen, tell me if I'm wrong here. If the day should ever come where it's proven that they had kernel knowledge, Deacon, if they had kernel knowledge that two cure-alls existed and the report was filed in April of 2020 and May of 2020 by the Department of Research and Development here, basically the Pentagon, DARPA, saying there was a cure-all for all phases of COVID-19 and it was suppressed by the FDA. If that ever comes to light, Deacon, what are we looking at?
If the same people were in charge of the political and legal system, when it comes to light, nothing. But you'd have to get your justice at this point in time at the end of a gun, because they're not going to – they passed a bullshit law saying absolving everybody of any kind of responsibility or legal liability. So the way that you put liability on them is at the end of a gun. That's how you do it.
No. Listen, no, lawfully, though – I mean, I understand what you're saying. I could agree to that to an extent. But listen – lawfully, though, but here's where I think that this can win in court. If that evidence is there, right, that means that the immunity from liability is stripped, you see, because the actual contract that they signed with the FDA for the emergency use authorization states, according to the law, there cannot be any existing prophylactics that can be used. And they suppressed these two items. So this happened before the vaccine was released. And this is under the law illegal.
If you can get a judge to say it was criminal fraud and they based the vote or the immunity on criminal fraud, then it could be reversed.
Can that be done locally? You forced, okay, like, here's an instance. Let me give you the circumstance. You have the health director. He's the programmer of the vaccine program. He runs, he manages the whole thing. We've had, say, I don't know, 25 people die of a result of the vaccine. It was him that brought it in. He pushed the program.
It was him that coordinated the nurses. Who's in fault? Who do we hang up for this? And this locally. Can we say locally, all right, you prescribed the vaccines to these people? Do we need to prove that he had intent? We need to prove that he knew this mRNA was a killer. Right?
Well, then he would abrogate his. See, you don't have absolute immunity as a public official. It's qualified. If you can show that they acted what so-called under color of law, meaning that they.
So if my health director knew ivermectin was a cure-all, Deacon, if he knew it was a cure-all, if the health director knew ivermectin was a cure-all and he continued to push the vaccine, is he guilty of murder?
Depends on what his defense is. If he points up the chain and says, "I'm following what the Congress passed," then it's defense, isn't it?
Well, Congress,
unless he had
Congress
actual
passed.
Knowledge that it wasn't, right? And then you could have a judge who's got some balls, even at the state court level, declare that law they passed unconstitutional and void. Now there's going to be people above him that are going to get involved with that, and it might get reversed. But we've had county judges here and magistrates declare something unconstitutional, laws and stuff. So it's possible, yeah.
It's a long shot. I realize this. It's deflated football, and the facts are going to be hard to struggle, hard to find. They're going to be a big struggle to deal with for a lot of people. I got to assume that if such an opportunity was to arise, there would be a sheer panic. But there's already so much stuff on the table right now. I'm really surprised. Let's cover the WHO treaty. Did we cover the treaty? We did, right? Did I cover the treaty? Yeah. No, we didn't. Let's do it. The WHO, the World Health Organization, okay, has written up this treaty. And for whatever country that signs up for this treaty, they are to suspend their constitution in the time of a worldwide pandemic, according to the WHO. So if the WHO comes out and says, y'all got AIDS and you no longer have a constitution. That's that. So then the Constitution suspended in the United States? Now, Deacon, we spoke a little bit about this in the green room. Is that even a thing? Now, in my opinion, it's not possible. I do not believe there is a legal precedent or a case law that says the Constitution could be suspended by some outside foreign
agency. Not that way. No, not by an external body like the UN.
Yeah, right.
But there are ways legally that we could do it ourselves. But see, you would have to get 2/3 of the Senate to ratify a treaty like that. There's executive treaties the president signs, but not for something like that. I mean, there are laws, the Constitution and statute that explain that stuff, but
yeah.
These bastards would try it anyway. I mean, come on, look at the bullshit that they,
you need a con, a constitutional convention. That's the only way that can be done. But you're right, Deacon, 2/3 of the Senate, all these like small arms treaty, all that stuff, 2/3 of the Senate's got to go along with it. And they're just not going to get that. There's just no way. So I don't know if you want to throw a break in here, Mr. Rowe, and then I got Tucker's thing lined up. It is going to go down as his broadcast that actually brought him down. I'm convinced of it now. Tucker's not going to be around much longer.
Where's he going?
He went too far.
He's going to have an accident.
Yeah, well, run it, Tucker.
Okay.
Break's coming.
Yeah.
All right, here's the break. We'll do it after the break. All right. We'll be right back.
listening to Revolution Radio.
Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's iPhone thinking. Welcome to the Crypt.
We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of
be
more...
Be quiet.
I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look. It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I'm... Seems such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, stupidity.
I'll do you for that. What? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Hi, everybody. It's me, the Fetch, host of Inside the Eye Line. Before the Sunday mainstream media, political pundit talk shows, there is Inside the Eye Live, where we break down some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing and informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So join me, the Fetch, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
All right, we're back. We took a little bit longer break than necessary. But hey, this is the beginning of hour number four, so... where are we at right now, Jacker? We still have Jer-Bear, Mr. Rowe.
We got the full high council.
Yeah.
This is Tucker tonight to over 6 million people. I do believe this is the one that's going to end his career. I don't think he's going to be able to survive this one. I'm going to go ahead and pull him in, and that anytime somebody wants to pause, just say pause and I'll kill it, and then we'll talk.
So this could be the the end of his career, even without no chance to go to other networks with what you're about to present?
Oh, no, no. He might be able to go to other networks. Personally, he may, because he is the white knight to broker out an American Civil War or revolution. The power structures may keep him around. Because he does know where all the lines are. He knows about the Zionists. He won't touch the Jews. He knows he's smart enough. He's got the education. So
what you're saying, this what you're about to play for the listeners, it puts him on the cusp of in and out being here.
Yeah, they may knock him off Fox, and then he goes to like Trump Network or American News One, or he may.
Yeah, let's get to it. Come on,
die. All right, thank you, John. All right, thank you,
so just tell me to pause, and I'll pause. Here we go.
Good evening, and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. If you had told us just 4 days ago that the Biden administration was funding secret biolabs in Ukraine, of all places, we would not have believed you. Yeah, I don't think we're going to put that on TV. No thanks. Then if you told us that not only did the administration fund these secret biolabs in Ukraine, but that they then failed to secure the deadly contents of those labs before the Russian invasion, an invasion they knew was coming, an invasion they helped encourage, if you had told us that 4 days ago, we'd have dismissed you as a nut. It was just too preposterous. We would not want anything to do with a story like that. There was no way it could be true. Too far out. In any case, we already knew for a fact that that story was false. How do we know that? Because we read USA Today, America's newspaper. Within hours of the Russian invasion, USA Today published a rebuttal to all those crazies who are yammering on about secret Ukrainian biolabs. Here was the headline. Fact check. False claim of U.S. biolabs in Ukraine tied to Russian disinformation campaign. So if you look carefully at the story, and we did, because we were interested, you notice that this fact check was sourced to Ukrainian government unnamed officials and then Biden State Department officials. These were not exactly objective sources on this subject, but still, the story seemed definitive. It was totally emphatic. Quote, Russia has teamed up with China to further amplify the false claim of U.S. labs in Ukraine. Okay, USA Today says it's Russian disinformation. Maybe it is. On to the next story. But the fact checks didn't stop. That was weird. We kept seeing the same fact check again and again. It was almost like, despite endless official clarification, some people refused to believe the Biden administration. They preferred Russian propaganda instead. And we assume they must be QAnon members. We assume that because Foreign Policy magazine told us that. According to Foreign Policy, QAnon, whatever that is, was frantically disseminating.
So he's ripping the mask off. He's showing it was all conspiracy theories. It was all Russian propaganda, everything. And so now he's starting to remove the mask and showing everybody, basically he's red-pilling everybody. Like he said, you know, we wouldn't put that on the air 4 days ago. That's crazy stuff. Here it is 4 days later, and he's getting ready to say what he's getting ready to say. It's pretty wild. Here we go.
Quote, false claims of U.S. biowarfare labs in Ukraine. Those labs obviously didn't exist. It was all just another lie from the Russians, who lie for a living. Then the European Union weighed in, throwing its credibility behind the same claim. These are conspiracy theories, the EU told us. They're lies spread by Putin. An EU spokesman then reminded us that, quote, the credibility of information provided by the Kremlin is in general very doubtful and low. That was good to know. Quote, Russian disinformation has a track record of promoting manipulative narratives about biological weapons and alleged secret labs. Yeah, we're not going to do a segment about secret labs in Ukraine. The last thing we want to do on this show is traffic in Russian disinformation spread by QAnon, so we took a pass on that story. And that's where things stood until yesterday, when we happened to tune into a hearing of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Victoria Nuland was testifying, so we were interested. Nuland's one of the people who brought us the Iraq War, never apologized for that, and kept getting promoted, because that's how D.C. works. Tori Nuland is now Joe Biden's Undersecretary of State in charge of Ukraine, and she knows a lot about Ukraine. In 2014, Tori Nuland engineered a coup in Ukraine in the name of democracy, of course.
So, Tucker just said that Victoria Nuland engineered, as Deputy Secretary of State, a coup in Ukraine in 2014. Now, he just said that. Now, he said it so it would like slide off, you know, skipping a rock along a lake, that you wouldn't pick it up. But when you actually stop and you think, wait a minute, this guy just said that the United States government overthrew a duly elected president, created a coup inside the Ukraine in 2014. But he just skips over it. So unless somebody else has got something to say, I'll keep going. Okay, here we go.
Run it.
So she is a highly informed source about Ukraine. So she was having this colloquy with Senator Marco Rubio of Florida during her testimony. And at one point, Rubio took a tack that we were not expecting at all. He asked Nguyen if Ukraine had biological weapons. We never imagined Ukraine would have biological weapons. Why would Ukraine have bioweapons? So it seemed like a pretty strange question. But it wasn't half as shocking as the answer he got. Watch what Toya Nguyen said.
Does Ukraine have chemical or biological weapons?
Ukraine has biological research facilities, which, in fact, we are now quite concerned Russian troops, Russian forces may be seeking to gain control of. So we are working with the Ukrainians on how they can prevent any of those research materials from falling into the hands of Russian forces should they approach.
Does Ukraine have biological weapons? Ukraine has biological research facilities. What? You mean secret biolabs? Like the secret biolabs Ukraine definitely doesn't have? Ukraine has those? Yes, it does. And not only does Ukraine have secret biolabs, Toria Nguyen said, whatever they're doing in those labs is so dangerous and so scary that she is, quote, quite concerned that the so-called research material inside those biolabs might fall into the hands of Russian forces. Trying to use profanity on the air to describe our reaction, our jaws drop. Let's leave it there. Under.
So now they're admitting biolabs. This is the narrative. Within an hour, all this was changed once Tucker did this on Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity came in with a completely different narrative about old Soviet labs. But the point is that she actually made, this is, you're actually looking at a major, major mistake of the deep state, where you got Nguyen, who, my God, she's wearing this blue dress. I mean, she's got big boobs, but my God, these are like 47. I mean, these are like giant boobs. She's really big. Anyways, the point is, I can't help myself, folks. you know, as a reality changer, I can see through things. So I have a hard time with my imagination. Anyways, the point is that now it's dawning on Tucker and the whole structure, basically the media, the establishment media. They admitted it, and this was a major mistake. And so now Tucker's going to take it from there. And it just gets, for the next couple of minutes, it just gets crazier and crazier. Tucker is not going to last. I'm going to predict that now. Here we go.
Oath in an open committee hearing, Toria Nguyen just confirmed that the Russian disinformation they've been telling us for days is a lie, a conspiracy theory, and crazy and immoral to believe is, in fact, totally and completely true. Whoa. You don't hear things like that every day in Washington. Talk about a showstopper. And a dozen questions instantly jump to mind. What exactly are they doing in these secret Ukrainian biolabs? Ukraine is the poorest country in Europe. It's hardly a hotbed of biomedical research. We're assuming these weren't pharmaceutical labs, probably not developing new leukemia drugs. From your answer, Toria Nguyen, we would assume, because you all but said it, that there's a military application to this research, that they're working on bioweapons. Again, your answer suggests that. Why would we fund something like that in Ukraine? And why didn't you secure the contents of these biolabs before the Russians arrived, as you knew they would? And then why did you go out of your way to lie to the American public about all of this? If the, quote, research materials in these labs were to escape somehow, and you seem very concerned about that, what would be the effect on Ukraine and then on the rest of the world?
That's the question. The big question here is this the next chapter? Is it? It's not going to be World War III. It's going to be another pandemic outbreak among the world that comes from the Ukraine. And so is the elite, is this all being set up? Was this all supposed to spill out? And so soon people are going to be coughing blood in the streets. Is that the next stage of what they're going to do? That's what I'm really worried about. But let's keep on going unless somebody else got something to talk about. 1, 2, 3, let's go.
How can we prepare for the consequences of that, this thing that you're worried about? Shouldn't we be preparing? Because as it turns out, we've just spent the last 2 years living with a pathogen that began in another foreign biolab funded by the United States government secretly. So this question is on our mind. It seems fair. Now, that's some of what we would have asked if we were U.S. senators, which we're not. Yes, there's a time limit. Time limit be damned, because this is kind of important. But Rubio did not ask those questions. Instead, he changed the subject and told us once again that Vladimir Putin is bad. Watch.
If there's a biological or chemical weapon incident or attack inside of Ukraine, is there any doubt in your mind that 100% it would be the Russians that would be behind it?
There is no doubt in my mind, Senator, and it is classic Russian technique to blame on the other guy what they're planning to do themselves.
This is called projection. This is what the elite has done for many, many years now. And so she just actually confessed. Right. Yeah, Sergeant Miller. She confessed exactly what they do. These are experts at it. Anybody want to comment?
Well, the old saying is you point one finger, you got three fingers pointed at back to yourself.
Yeah, I remember that as a kid. I remember that. When you point one finger at a person, you got three fingers pointing back to you. By the witness of two or three, so you are therefore condemned.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else, Sergeant Miller?
Nah, just Hannity. Hannity is a prick. Hannity remind me of a field goal kicker that don't get the kick.
Hannity's like one of these guys. In fact, you know, he's like, I completely understand when a bunch of black guys want to beat up a cracker, they find somebody like a Hannity and just like beat the shit out of him. Hannity's going to hell. That's where he's going. I'm telling you now. Hannity, I'm convinced. That he's sold his soul. He's going to end up in hell for what he's doing. He's really, what he is doing is really, really evil. And he's going to have a hard time making it into heaven. Now, let me just put it that way. He's going to hell. But let me keep on going, because we're only about 40% the way through. And Tucker just keeps on going. Here we go.
I'm waiting for the part where he is not going to have a career on Fox anymore.
Oh, that's about to happen.
Okay. All right. I'm right here.
Okay. He exposed the 2014 coup that Newland was part of. Now the bioweapons lab, which nobody wants to talk about. And he's using their own words. So let's keep going. Let's see.
Okay, just get a pen. It's a classic Russian technique to blame on the other guy what they are planning to do themselves. That's what Torian Newland said. We almost laughed out loud. So what you're saying, Torian Newland, if, for example, you were funding secret biolabs in Ukraine but wanted to hide that fact from the people who are paying for it, in whose name you were doing it, then you might lie about it by claiming the Russians were lying about it. In other words, you might mount a disinformation campaign by claiming the other guy was mounting a disinformation campaign. Is that what you're saying, Tori Newland? Pretty funny. What's not funny is that this is all entirely real. We invited Marco Rubio on this show tonight to tell us what he knows about these biolabs. He declined to come. That invitation remains open.
So what Tucker actually said in code language is that exactly what Newland said that the Russians were going to do, Tucker is saying they were going to do. And so in the subtlest, most manner, Tucker has basically told us, that's why he said he brought in Marco Rubio. You're talking about there's going to be like a biological weapons release. And so that's actually what he decoded without saying it. This guy's not going to last long. Let's keep going.
In the meantime, let's review what little we do know about this. We're going to start with a spokesman for the Russian Defense Ministry on Sunday. Now, we would never do this. We've never played anything like this on the show before because, of course, we're Americans and we want to know what's going on. We ask our own officials, the people we elect and whose salaries we pay, because it's our country. We don't go to foreign sources because we trust our own sources first. But when it turns out the people who represent us and run our government are lying to us and never apologize for it and doing horrific things in our names, then you have to open your mind a little bit and at least assess what other people are saying. So
what he just talked about is ripping down the credibility of the United States government. That's what he just said. He is ripping it down, and they're not going to put up with it. So here we go.
Here was the Russian claim. Watch.
During the course of a special military operation, facts were uncovered of the Kyiv regime mopping up traces of military biological program under development in Ukraine, financed by the U.S. Defense Ministry.
Okay, so that apparently, we hadn't seen that until this afternoon, we started poking around. That may have been the root of the conspiracy theories that the fact checks told us were Russian disinformation. Let's quote it. Military biological programs are under development in Ukraine financed by the U.S. Defense Ministry. That's the Russian claim. Separately, a Russian foreign ministry spokesman said the Ukrainians are working on deadly pathogens, including plague and anthrax. Is that true? Now, obviously, we would not take Russia's word for that, ever.
Plague and anthrax. Wow.
But we don't have to take Russia's word for that. The U.S. Defense Department has a website that contains this media clip about the opening of a biological research facility in Ukraine in 2010. Quote, U.S. Senator Dick Lugar applauded the opening of the interim Central Reference Laboratory in Odessa, Ukraine this week, announcing that it will be instrumental in researching dangerous pathogens used by bioterrorists. The Level 3 biosafety lab will be used to study anthrax, tularemia, and Q fever, as well as other dangerous pathogens. Oh, okay. Then the National Pulse dug up a 2011 report from the U.S. National Academy of Sciences that also explained that the Odessa-based laboratory, quote, is responsible for the identification of especially dangerous biological pathogens. So what we're doing, this is not the first time you've heard this story, we are funding the creation of deadly pathogens so we can study them and prevent people from getting infected with them, maybe? They're locked.
Now, listen to what he gets ready to say right now. He's talking about everything that he just read has been wiped clean off the internet and off the Defense Department website. Listen.
Of examples of this, the U.S. Embassy in Ukraine has a handy webpage explaining that American and Ukrainian scientists have worked on a whole bunch of different experiments like this. Some of the projects include work on African swine fever virus, hemorrhagic fever virus, and various avian respiratory viruses. The interesting thing, the telling thing, is that the U.S. Embassy's website also contains links to fact sheets about America's support for biological research in Ukraine, but all those links are now dead. That's weird. It's our government. We pay for it. Again, they're there in our name, in the name of American citizens, but we can no longer read their webpage? How does that work exactly?
They wiped them clean. They wiped the internet clean, the Defense Department, all the old links, everything. Everything is gone. Wow. And we still got a third to go. Tucker's not going to make it. I don't think he's going to make it. Here we go.
They have no right to lie to us. The webpage is archived, thankfully, and the fact sheets show Defense Department funding to laboratories in Ukraine. So that looks like proof. Not Russian disinformation, it's totally real. Sorry, USA Today, America's newspaper. It's real. You can look it up on the internet.
if you want.
In the face of that evidence, the Pentagon is still lying about it. And in fact, they're repeating the same unbelievably stupid and now thoroughly discredited lies. The fact.
All right, stop it.
Weeks now. Here's the.
Why would the Pentagon lie about this and be honest about a cure-all for COVID-19? Two of them, in fact.
Right, or more, the bigger question is, why do all the people who know, and I'm talking about alternative media, you know, truth community, why would they all of a sudden, they all know what happened with COVID-19 for the last 2 years, one big, I don't want to use the word skull, whatever, dirty language. I got
ruse.
Right, Pauls.
Ruse.
Right. But why would they do that? And then all of a sudden, now all these very same people all of a sudden believe the war in the Ukraine and the whole narrative about the evil Russians. So, anyways, go ahead, mechanic. You made the point. Go ahead.
Well, that was my point. I mean, look, you have continue rolling. I'll elaborate. Go ahead. Keep running it.
Okay. Got about 20% left.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Spokesman for the Pentagon, John Kirby, today.
The Russian accusations are absurd. They're laughable. And, you know, in the words of my Irish Catholic grandfather, a bunch of malarkey.
Yeah, you're a paid piece of garbage. Go ahead. Keep going. Keep going.
No, you got to see the guy. The way he delivers this, it's like he's completely trapped. And they realized, wow, we stepped on a damn landmine. Tucker picks it up. But if you could see the footage. By the way, you can find this exact 16 minutes on Tucker, quote, colon, why are we funding this, question mark, on Fox News.
Yeah.
Just in the last day. But here we go.
Nothing to it. It's classic Russian propaganda. And I wouldn't, if I were you, I wouldn't give it, I wouldn't give it a drop of ink worth paying attention to.
Yeah, but can you explain to us has there been any relationship between the
two? We are not developing biological or chemical weapons inside Ukraine. It's not happening.
Lies.
If I were you, I wouldn't devote a drop of ink to it. First of all, you didn't get to make that decision, Mr. Bureaucrat. We have a free press in this country. You don't get to decide. But you'll notice at the end of that, Kirby refuses to answer the question. Has there been a relationship between the U.S. Pentagon and a bioweapons facility in Ukraine? And if so, what is that relationship? That's Russian disinformation. What's the answer? We're not developing WMD in Ukraine right now. Okay, got it. But why are we funding this, and what exactly are we funding? We reached out to the State Department separately, and they provided us with this very carefully worded statement. Quote, the U.S. Department of Defense does not own or operate biological laboratories in Ukraine. Not that anyone said they did. Continuing the quote, Undersecretary Nuland was referring to Ukrainian diagnostic and biodefense laboratories during her testimony, which are not biological weapons facilities. What's the difference exactly? Continuing the quote, these institutions counter biological threats throughout the country. End quote. So that means nothing. You could describe our nuclear stockpile correctly as defensive. Our nuclear weapons are not designed to preemptively kill anybody. They're designed to prevent other people from killing us. But they're still nuclear weapons. So why don't you stop lying and telling us what's going on here? And why don't you more specifically tell us why you didn't secure these materials? So, yes, we're funding secret biolabs in Ukraine, but they're diagnostic and biodefense laboratories that counter biological threats. Okay. If these are purely defensive labs, why was Torian Nuland so concerned that Russians would get a hold of the materials from these facilities?
There is the scary part, is that Tucker's caught everybody in the lie. They're all in biological material. Weapons. He lists a whole bunch of viruses and diseases that they can release. And so, I mean, he's got them. And so, yeah. He's a hammer.
Okay, so, okay. All right. Doesn't he sit down with the guys at Fox and have a conversation about his show every night before it goes on? Do they not review it? So are you suggesting that he went off script and Fox didn't cut the transmission?
No.
Because if they didn't cut the transmission, bro, he didn't go off script.
Right. But my point is that, and this goes back to your point, because you believe like Harvey Truth, and this is all scripted out. I'm saying you're seeing a Fisher here among, help me out here, Mr. Rowe, if you're still on the air, I can't see because I'm on this
box. He's still here.
Right. But so you're seeing a splitting or a shattering of all these different factions. Putin could be doing what he's doing out of nationalistic tendencies to keep his kingdom. Tucker could be doing what he's doing because he's breaking off the Trump, the anti-Russia, the conservative faction, because he's getting ready to make a run. You know, Fox News has got their own thing. So it's... I don't know who's on the air right now, but they're just like the mic's open, so we can't hear anything.
I've been muted.
Okay,
well, go ahead. That might have been me. Go ahead.
I can't see.
Continue, Jack. That was probably just me making an adjustment. Go ahead.
Right. So this is different factions breaking out, and so what you're seeing with Tucker Carlson, he's the head of some kind of conservative, Christian, patriotic base factor. And the Jews basically do see him too, that they can use this guy to broker out if they don't want a civil war to happen in the United States, just like what they did with Trump, they can do with Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson has the credibility and the power to broker out a peaceful, a violent civil war in America to a peaceful political conclusion. And so that's one of the reasons they're keeping him around, is that he's actually a weapon. And I see it before all the white boys and black boy American patriots start taking guns and killing each other, they can actually inject this guy like they injected Trump, and he can broker out a peaceful political resolution. And that's why I'm saying 2024, if Tucker decides to run, he's going to take it. But anybody else want to say anything before I finish off the last 10%?
Yeah, Tucker will never be vice president or president of the United States. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I think there's some Jews at Fox that disagree with you. they see him as a pressure valve. And so, but we will see. So here we go. Here's the last part of it.
Other world powers have come to the obvious conclusion. Again, we hate to do this, but under these circumstances, we asked our own spokespeople. They lied. We're going to the foreign ministry of China, a country we despise. Here's what they said today. They're calling in weapons inspectors to take a look at these facilities in Ukraine right away.
Over the past two decades, the United States has been blocking the establishment of a verification regime to the Biological Weapons Convention and refused to accept the inspection of biological facilities within and outside its borders. The move has further aggravated the concern of the international community. We once again urge the U.S. to provide full clarification of its biomilitarization activities within and outside its borders and accept multilateral verification.
Okay, so these are the Chinese who just got beat up over the Wuhan COVID virus, and now they're pointing out that the Americans have got like 300 labs all over the world. They're going to go biological, and there is one thing that actually does scare the Chinese. The one thing that scares the Chinese, or that basically keeps them in check, is biological weapons, because supposedly they've got, and this comes from like Alex Jones type stuff. So they got biological weapons. If you're a Slav, if you're of like Russian, Ukrainian type descent, of genetics, they've got biological weapons that can kill you. If you're Irish, like me, they got biological
weapons. In the COVID testing, they were when they did your testing, they were collecting your DNA to put in that database for those weapons, those race weapons.
Right. Good point, Deacon. Good point. Is that that's what all the COVID test was about, was collecting all the rest of this DNA. And so it looks like this power that has control of the earth, somehow they've got like a black plague, or they've got biological weapons set up in which they can wipe out a certain peoples. And so the Chinese, what you just heard from the Chinese, is that they're saying, now, wait a minute. I mean, are these white boys from the West getting ready to use biological weapons to wipe us out? And so the Chinese, that's another reason I don't think the Chinese are going to go to Taiwan. Not only do they not want an economic worldwide collapse, but they don't want the white boys from the West throwing biological weapons and want them wiping out the Chinks. I mean, and so this is complex stuff. Anyways, let's see. There's about 5% left of Tucker on his 16, and I don't think he's going to survive this. I'm going to predict Tucker's going to take a 2-week vacation or something's getting ready to happen.
Yeah, finish the video.
All right, here we go.
Oh, they're putting Russian Chinese propaganda on the screen. Yeah, we did. They also put U.S. government propaganda on the screen. And the difference is we expect to be lied to by foreign governments. We're not globalists. We believe in one country. It's this country, the United States. We do not expect to be lied to by our government, and we won't accept it. But let's get to the substance of what the Chinese government just said. And we never agree with the Chinese government on anything. But in this case, they make a fair point. We now know that dangerous biological agents, whether you call them weapons or not, is completely irrelevant because they can be used as weapons. Is a gun a weapon? Not when you're quail hunting. When you're in a gunfight, it is. It's a ridiculous semantic debate. Dangerous biological agents remain, thanks to the Biden administration, unsecured in a chaotic war zone. At some point, we need to know how that happened. Who made those decisions? We have a right to know. And let's hope someone in Congress, apparently not Marco Rubio, but someone else, will get to the bottom of it. But in the meantime, we pray that somewhere in the United States government, there is an adult who cares enough to get this situation under control immediately. Hey, Sean Hannity here. Hey, click here to subscribe to Fox News.
Okay, that's it, folks. That was a clip. That was a clip. I'm going to predict that Tucker goes down. I think he went too far. Can anybody hear me?
No, yeah, well, I hear you. Everybody's on the show. Nothing's changed. You're good.
Might have it planned out that he, if they fire him or give him a hard time, he may go somewhere else. See, people like that have this all worked out. This, you know what I'm saying? Someone like that, who's a professional high level like that, if you're a musician or an actor or whatever you are, very successful, they don't do stuff like this off the cuff. So he's probably got this all worked out. You know what I'm saying? If they fire him, then he'll probably go to a new news network or join the Trump Media Corporation or whatever it is he's going to do. See what I'm saying?
You know, look, if he goes to another station, it'll be more of the same guard. How do you do that? How do you just flip the script? Well, ask the guy from Fox. Who is this douchebag? He was on Fox like 2 months ago. Resigned, and now he's at CNN. So that just goes to show you, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. They're just playing roles. What's he going to do? Get on CNN and talk about Fox talking points. Unlikely.
Well, that's an extreme minority view in the mainstream media. Who else would say something like that, Hijacker? I don't think anybody else has said anything near that.
Yeah.
you know.
Yeah, no, no. You know, Tucker went the full way. I'm sorry, got knocked off the air.
Okay.
No, Tucker went the, no, he went the full way. He exposed it. And so, now, Mechanic's right. He could not have gone on the air. He's got good writers. Believe me, there's a
guy. They would have cut him off. If he went off script, they would have cut him off. They don't care. They take their orders from outside the building.
Right. No, no. I don't disagree with you, Mechanic. But so he could be doing the practice of lesser magic in the occult, in which you got to tell the people what you're getting ready to do before you do it. Some kind of karmic. I don't really know how it works. And so he basically said in that clip that, you know, with Rubio saying, If there's a biological or chemical weapons attack, it will be 100% the Russians that do it. And then Victoria Nuland says, absolutely, that's what they do. They project onto us, you know, what they're actually going to do and try to blame us. And he went through that. So what are we looking at here? I don't know. You know, I mean... are we going to get some kind of strange disease coming out of the Ukraine, the Ukrainian war? I don't know. But the whole narrative, especially once the Ukraines, right now they're all in between cars and they're all upset or whatever, so they don't get a chance to see this type of information. But once the Ukrainian people realize that these Zionists, that are Jews, have got control of their country, have looted them, have taken 140,000 of their children in the last 8 years and disappeared, and there's bioweapons labs everywhere, they got to stop and think, wait a minute, are the Russians invading us, or are they liberating us? And so that's why I think the great and mighty king of Mother Russia, Vladimir Putin, he's going to bring back the former duly elected president of the Ukraine. I think if they get enough control of the Ukraine, they're going to fly that guy back. And so you're going to have two cities with two different presidents. And just the juxtapose of that two, one that's like a red pill. Once people realize, wait a minute, what's really going on? This guy was elected, and now he's back. They dethroned them, and now they put up a series of, by the way, all three since the former duly elected president, all three of the presidents after that, Poroshenko, I can't think of the other guy, and then you got Zemvov or whatever the dancing gay guy is president now. All three have been Jewish. And so, you know, once that hits into their head, in which that might be why they completely disrupted everything, then the Ukrainian people are going to go, wait a minute. And so if I was the great and mighty king of Mother Russia, I would gather up all of the Ukrainian soldiers I could, put them in tanks, mark the tanks, Ukraine, and the armor, and send the men to Kiev and let them clean it up. And they'll probably do it without a shot being fired.
Look, he sent in a couple of low-level privates. He didn't start a war. He started a fight. You know, like, he went in and he went into a bar and he hit a dude over the head with a cue stick. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not a war.
Well, those aren't his real troops either. He used in Ukraine. Yeah. That's like us using the National Guard. His real troops. He's holding back.
These are like reserves. These are not the first line troops. That, and don't forget the Chechens. These guys,
are prepared, and they're on the side of Russia. So, and Belarus, right? I think they're also on the side of Russia, right? I don't know, China, giving them financial support. If the U.S. gives air support to Ukraine via aircraft, Russia will see that as a force.
That's on then. Yeah, that's on then. Yeah.
So we will have everything coming to us at that point. And that's the same thing with the no-fly zone over Ukraine. That's another thing. That's yeah, it's a real problem. And I don't know what Friday's going to bring, but what's the quote again? Friday will be a beautiful day. Interesting.
Right. Well, the big thing is what they let go in the mainstream narrative is that there's bioweapons. The Russians may do a false flag with chemical bioweapons. That is the big thing that I'm worried about, is that now they've injected that into the heads of billions of people. And so what I'm concerned about is that we're not actually seeing what the big picture is. The big picture seems to be some kind of, we thought it was going to come from China through the Olympics. You know, they were going to contaminate the Olympics with some kind of new strain of virus where people puke blood or whatever. But maybe what they're planning is to start the second pandemic out of the Ukraine with these bioweapons labs. Why would they tell us all about this stuff? That's my point. So it looks like we only got like 4 or 5 minutes left. Anybody want to comment? Sergeant Miller or anybody?
Yeah. Oh, well, look, it's been a great show. It's 4 hours. I mean, come on. We haven't done 4 hours in a while, you know?
No, we haven't. Good job, brothers.
Yeah, no, a lot of work.
The main thing is kind of be prepared, right, as much as you can. We covered the obligation that, in my opinion, I don't think you have. I think a lot of people have made their bed. They cooked their meal. They made their bed. Now they got to lie in it. Now they got to eat it. And that's on them. I'm not going to walk around carrying this burden. Any final thoughts, anybody? Rapid fire. What do you got?
Yeah, well, I'll just say that Joel Skousen, his brother, he's got a brother that's a high-functioning alcoholic. And Joel Skousen said on Rents, you know, he had a phone call with his brother, and he goes, look, you need to get prepared. Of course, Joel Skousen is the ultimate prepper, survivalist. He builds bunkers and stuff for people. He's on Alex Jones. Anyways, he said to his brother, he goes, look, you need to get ready or whatever. And his brother said to him, well, all I'm going to do is I'm coming over to your house. And Joel Skousen said, he says, look, you come to my house. I'm not giving you nothing. You knew full well what was going to happen. I told you everything. I'm not going to help you. You need to get prepared for yourself, because you know that I've got all this food and stuff stored up. I've got a big family I've got to take care of. I'm not going to be able to take care of you and your family. And this is Joel Skousen's high-functioning alcoholic brother. Anyways, so you got a Mormon guy telling his own brother, basically, I'm going to shoot your ass. I'm going to shoot your ass if you try to come and grab my stuff. And then Joel Skousen goes into a whole doctrine on why the people that haven't been prepared, you cannot help. If you invite them in, they're either going to steal your stuff, kill you, or whatever. And so
he felt that way with his own brother, huh?
Yeah, his own brother. Joel Skousen on the air, on Jeff Rentz, told his own brother, I'm going to kill your ass. So Skousen's already gamed it all out. In fact, he didn't come on Rentz tonight. Rentz played a replay of something else. So probably Skousen knows that the war is coming. So I'm going to say basically it's going to be the deep state that does something in March. I'm thinking March 18th. That's the big date, the full moon, the triple sixes. I'm thinking
there's 2 days you need to worry about, 311 and 322.
Yeah, and 318, right, and 315.
318. 318, that's going to be more of a ritual. Like, look to sports on 318. Look to sports on 318. That's going to be some wicked shit. We're probably going to lose some football players in the UK. You know, baseball's done. I think there's not going to be a season. And I think this whole thing with the owners right now, I think there's a cover up in baseball. I think there's a lot of sick baseball players.
With what? With what? COVID? Or, oh, from I got you down here.
Yeah. I think this whole thing with the union and the owners and the players, I think we got a lot of sick players is what we got.
Oh, no, the death wave is coming over in RBN. They lost a couple more hosts. Rob Skiba over on Truth Frequency, and a couple Ken Baker, they're gone. Ralph, somebody over on RBN, a couple of those hosts, including their founder, John Smats, Stat Miller, he's dead.
Yeah,
he's
the gone. Death. I agree. We're gonna start to see more.
Yeah,
more.
No, the death wave. The death wave is starting to wash over us now. It's starting to hit.
Yeah. It's not good.
So that looks like it's
not good.
Thanks, Mechanic, for bringing me in. Great show you did. We did 4 hours. Wow. Deacon,
good job. Good job.
Thanks, man.
All right, guys.
Yeah, everybody.
All right. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Another episode of the High Council. Don't forget, get a grip. At the end of the day, it's on you. See ya.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's hyper thinking. Welcome to the Crypt.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
Zero XE, zero.